Blog Talk Radio.
This is a control grid to track and trace and make us second-class citizens. They're going to decide what sites you visit, and they're only going to allow a couple thousand sites. 99% of the web will be off-limits.
News on the web. I'm your host, Joanne Moretti, and my great co-host, JoJo Norton, will be here in a few minutes to join me. We're really happy you tuned in, too. Thank you. Our call-in number is 347-324-3704, and our chat room over at freedomizerradio.com is open for you, too. Our moderators, Lynn and Hannah, are over there putting the links to our stories in the chat, so you don't have to search around for them. And there's great conversation going over there, too. Thank you, ladies. You do a good job. Now, when you get over to freedomizerradio.com, you can both listen and chat. By the way, there's a player box over there, so you can hear the show and you can jump into the conversation. I wanted to let you all know that. Plus, we could use the hits on our website, by the way. There is a whole lot going on in the news today. Man, we got some stuff to talk about today. It's going to blow your mind. We got some intel we got to share with you, too. And actually, it's pretty good news. But let's get to the headlines, and then we'll start the show. I don't know if you all know it yet, but legendary host Dick Clark passed away today at the age of 82. So we'll, you know, give him a nice see you later. There's a sickening story out of Houston that we've been following. A young mom is dead and her baby was kidnapped. The baby has been found, but there's more to the story, so we'll update you on that. More U.S. cities are headed for default. The White House and Panetta seem to be pointing fingers at each other over travel expenses for Panetta. New pictures have come out of soldiers posing with dead suicide bombers, and we need to talk about that. There's a lot more going on than just some pictures, and that's what the intel is about. So we're going to have to talk about that. You guys are really going to like what we have to say. Colonel Peters had a lot to say about it, too, so we're going to share some of his comments. The administration has signaled that it's okay with them if the IMF gets more funding. We have some info on Occupy Wall Street, Acorn, Move On, you know, the usual suspects in their spring training. Louis Farrakhan. He's in the news, too. He was spewing his usual hate at a college. I don't even know why they let him go into the colleges. But anyhow, he has a message for white people, so I'll deliver the message. We have many U.S. farm groups seeking a halt on dangerous crop chemicals. Now, I know a lot of you have been paying attention to that, so now you have a whole bunch of farm groups that are working on it, too. So that's looking up. The EPA has issued its first ever fracking pollution rules. Daryl Issa has decided to move forward on contempt charges on Holder in the Fast and Furious case. That is big. That's huge. Plus, we have a whole full docket of news for you. Too many headlines to list, so let's just start the show. Welcome, everybody. Welcome. I see that JoJo Norton is here, and I'm going to open up her microphone because she just raised her hand. And you all know who JoJo is. She's my great co-host, and she's just a great person, awesome analyst, and she can tell the news like no one's business. So welcome, JoJo.
Remember that?
Hey, that sounds like the tune to American Bandstand.
Yeah. One I remember. Gotta have that little swingy beat to it.
Yeah.
When you were doing the jitterbug swing thing.
Yeah. We... Dick Clark was all right.
Mm-hmm. He never got old. Man, he just felt, I mean, he always looked young.
You know, that's
when he was 50, he looked 30. When he was 70, he looked 45, you know. But there you go. That's why you do not go to the hospital if you're not sick.
Yeah.
Go.
Well,
go
the only doctor he went to was the plastic surgeon.
Well, go in for an outpatient surgery and you wake up dead.
Yeah,
so
see?
You might should have skipped that outpatient surgery.
You're not kidding. He was 82 years old, though.
Yeah, but he looked real good for 82. Anyway.
I wonder what his outpatient procedure was, because he suffered a massive heart attack following the procedure.
Yeah, I don't know. He may have had a reaction to anesthesia or something like that.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, he's passed on. So Godspeed and God rest your soul. He will be remembered. New Year's Eve won't be the same. American Bandstand was an iconic show. Let's see here. We'll do this in order. I'm not going to jump out of order here. There's a horrible, 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 disgusting, despicable story out of Houston about this newborn kidnapping. In an article here from KTLA. Now, the nurse who stole this baby, she got no bail, but nobody ever thought she would. Says, wounded by multiple gunshots, Kayla Golden nevertheless made an attempt to save her 3-day-old son from a kidnapper. Witnesses said Golden, who was 28 years old, who was shot outside a Houston-area pediatrician office Tuesday, screamed and attempted to chase after the car with her son inside. The car struck Golden as it left the scene, the station said. She died later in a hospital. A 30-year-old registered nurse faces capital murder charges in Golden's death, according to an arrest report. Verna McLean of Houston was arrested just before midnight Tuesday, according to the report. She's accused of fatally shooting Golden and kidnapping 3-day-old Keegan Shudot. Police believe the kidnapping was the motive for the shooting, the report said. The baby was found about 6 hours later. Keegan was initially taken into the custody of Texas Child Protective Services, but was released to family members late Wednesday morning, CNN affiliate KHOU reported. However, Keegan's father and Golden's husband, Keith Short, told the station he did not have his son. It says here also that he said he has not yet signed the baby's birth certificate, which might complicate the process of getting him back. My son-in-law is trying to get his child. Yep. And they got to run background checks on everybody before they can even get the baby back. My daughter's baby, the victim's mother, Linda Golden, told KHOU. Shushat told the station he was at work when he got a call regarding the shooting. His wife was dead when he reached the hospital, he said. It's just a random thing, I think, he said. We don't have any enemies. I don't know why anybody would want to do it. Maybe she lost her baby and wanted a baby or to sell him. I just want to get my baby back, he said. According to the arrest report, Golden carrying Keegan was leaving the Northwoods Pediatric Center in the Houston suburb of Spring when the incident took place Tuesday afternoon. The defendant confronted Mrs. Golden, then shot her multiple times in the parking lot, then took the baby and left, the report said. McLean's vehicle was found at an apartment complex, according to the report. McLean returned to the apartment as the investigation was continuing and asked to speak to police. She admitted to shooting Mrs. Golden and taking her baby, the arrest report said. The defendant admitted to taking the child to her residence in Harris County, which is where Keegan was later located.
I'm going to tell y'all right now, that nurse is probably going to get off for psychiatric.
I don't know, man. That poor mother. Well, and you know what? We should all be so proud of that girl. She's dead.
Yeah.
Until her dying breath, she fought. She fought like an Apache warrior for her baby. And, you know, the other story that I heard was that she reached up, even shot that many times, she reached up,
in the chest.
And her last words were, my baby.
She was shot 3 times in the chest.
And she still
and
tried to save
fire.
That's a real mother. That's what real mothers do. That poor girl. I'm just sick over this story. I'm absolutely devastated over it. Want to get into some real good news?
Yes.
All right. We got to set it up first.
All right.
All right. Now.
Do I need to sing another song or anything?
No. We got to set the scene. Okay, let's talk about the Secret Service. So I just saw a breaking news report. One supervisor was allowed to retire. One was suggested for removal. A third agent resigned, and eight put themselves on administrative leave. Okay? Well, that sounds to me like there might have been a confrontation, huh? One retired, one resigned, a bunch of them went on leave. Only one was slated for removal. All right, let's tell a story. You all have seen the pictures of Hillary Clinton being drunk now, by now, right?
Yeah.
Ask yourselves, how did somebody get close enough to the United States Secretary of State while she was wrecked to get those pictures?
Either A, she told them to back off 100 feet and leave her alone, or somebody conveniently had their phone out and thought they may need something for later. I don't know.
Well, it looks to me like they're playing a tit-for-tat. Now, as you know, those pictures came out. And then suddenly today, pictures of soldiers standing with dead suicide bombers came out. That was a payback, my friends. We've been talking about this. Well, the soldiers, they were posing with bodies. They did not kill those bodies. They were suicide bombers. But those pictures don't tell you that. Unless you know the story, then you don't know that those soldiers didn't kill those
dead bodies. And the story's old. It's over a year old.
2 years old, yeah, you're right.
2 years old.
So ask yourself, why would the L.A. Times, who is in close association, matter of fact, they're holding back on a tape of Obama, why would the L.A. Times put out two-year-old pictures? Must be to slap the military around, huh? More slapping them around. All right, well, today, Colonel Peters was on with Megyn Kelly. Yeah, he was on with Megyn Kelly. I think I got the right one here.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, yeah, and he was talking about the pictures. He was talking about there were 35 men lost. I got to find the right article here. Oh, here it is. All right, well, I don't know if you guys saw him, Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters. He went off on the media and the government's rush to condemn the troops over these photos. Now, you see you had General Allen said he was really disappointed. You had Jay Carney come out, Obama come out and said that he would be really mad if this were true, and he's apologizing. You got the NATO chief apologizing. Meanwhile, these soldiers did not kill those suicide bombers. They may have photographed it, but, you know, they do have to get photographic evidence, too, so that might have been part of their job. You got to ask yourself, what was the point in putting out those pictures? Now, Colonel Peters, let me tell you let me read you this article here. This is from Noah Rothman over at Mediaite. There is a video, too, by the way. After White House condemnation of the L.A. Times for publishing photos of uniformed military posing with the bodies of suicide bombers, Fox News contributor and retired United States Army Lieutenant Colonel Ralph Peters described himself as furious at the L.A. Times and the civilian military leadership for their handling of the nascent scandal. Peters told Megyn Kelly this controversy was an example of the moral cowardice of military leaders who never stick up for our troops but protect their own careers. White House Press Secretary Jay Carney said on Wednesday that the White House was very disappointed that those photos were published. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta weighed in as well, saying that he strongly condemned the behavior depicted in the photos. Kelly said that the Pentagon had requested that the L.A. Times not run the photos, and Kelly herself said the program chose not to air the inflammatory images. But we all know those images were all over the place. Said there were fresh concerns that these pictures just published could fuel a new wave of anger on the streets of Afghanistan and could endanger American lives, said Kelly. Kelly asked Lieutenant Colonel Peters what his take on the controversy was, and Peters said he believed the L.A. Times was complicit in a terrible scandal here, but that scandal had nothing to do with our troops in combat. Now, this is where he went off. He said no terrorists were harmed in the taking of those snapshots, said Peter. The real scandal is the L.A. Times, desperate to survive, creates a scandal, publishes those pictures over the Pentagon's objection. The real scandal is that the establishment media leaps on another chance to trash our troops. The worst of the scandal is that our leaders, in and out of uniform, rush to condemn our troops. No explanation, no context. I suggest the White House spokesman Jay Carney join the military and see what it's like himself before he condemns our troops, Peter continued. I'm especially appalled that those in uniform, General John Allen, our commander in Afghanistan, just jumped on to trash our troops. The greatest generation sent Japanese skulls home to their girlfriend, said Peters. I'm not condoning it, but I'm trying to make the point that our soldiers out on the front lines and our Marines are under tremendous stress. War is not a ladies' auxiliary tea party, and it's all too easy for people comfortable in Los Angeles or New York or the White House to condemn the troops without context. Peters said that there should have been formal reprimand for the soldiers in question, but little else. He went on to criticize the impact that this budding scandal has already had on the civilian leaders of the military as a sign that the mission in Afghanistan is poorly defined. If our strategy and doctrine is so pathetically weak that it can be derailed, destroyed, shattered by a few burning Korans or a few photographs, the dead body parts of terrorists, well, that's not much of a strategy or doctrine, said Peters. He became visibly agitated and said that he was furious at the moral cowardice of military leaders who never stick up for our troops but protect their own careers. Like I said, this is a payback for the Hillary pictures. Okay? Now, I want to tell you what we have heard today. Are y'all sitting down? All right. There is a war going on in D.C. The military is rip-roaring furious. Now, this we got from our own contacts, not from any other group, okay? So, this is something that through our own pipeline we've got our hands on. Now, this war that's going on in D.C., in the military, it's just boiling over. Today, there was an altercation. Not an altercation, but it's close, with Panetta. I understand that there were some very high-ranking military officials that were rip-roaring furious with Panetta. They've had it with his crap. They've had it with Obama's crap. They've had it with everybody's crap. Okay, inside the military, there is a problem because the soldiers think for themselves. The soldiers know what's going on. Their leaders know what's going on. And they have absolutely had it with this regime, with this leadership. They are livid at Panetta, at General Allen. They're absolutely ripping. Like I said, there was an altercation today in Panetta's office, and there was a lot of screaming and yelling. There were very high-ranking military officials telling Obama to, Panetta, to practically shove the military and they want out of there, and this isn't going away. All right, now, after that, we heard that the leaders in Congress, especially the new Tea Party leaders that we have put up there, we thought they weren't doing anything. Well, they have been working like little ants right along, and I didn't see it. We've been waiting for things to happen, but timing is everything. So the timing now, you got to watch for what's going on. Obviously, things are happening. Today, ISA come out and said that they're going to go forward with the contempt charges on Holder. We heard the day before, that Pete King, remember he came out and he said that he was checking on the Secret Service? And what happened there? Well, that, you know what happened there? I'm not so sure that those hookers were for the Secret Service. I'm wondering if they weren't getting interviewed and checked out for people who may be coming after them. That's why they were taken out of there, because they wanted to stop it right there where it landed. Okay, now, that means that if these alleged hookers were being interviewed for people who were coming and not exactly for the people doing the interviewing, that's a whole big scandal. So I think that Pete King will actually help get them out of there. So that more scandal. They know that this is going to fall on them. What happened was they got busted with the hookers. So now they can't say these hookers are for Obama's people that are on their way. So they got to take the rap for that. Keep your eyes peeled and keep your ears to the ground, because I was told to look for signs. Now, remember last week, Alan West said that there were 80 commies in the Congress and House, right? And Congress and Senate. Well, that was a signal. As a matter of fact, he doubled down and said it again. But what I can tell you is there is movement. There is investigations going on now. Look at the GSA is being investigated. The EPA is about to be investigated. All these agencies now are about to be investigated. The GOP that's been really, really quiet, well, they've been working like little ants, like I told you, and there is all kinds of stuff coming down. Get the popcorn, ladies and gentlemen, because the chips have hit the fan. The war is on. So I wanted to tell you all that. And that's not something I heard from Drake or anybody else. We heard that from a real contact that we have had right along. Now, there's even this deal with Panetta. Now, you can tell that there's a problem because I guess Panetta has been taking airplanes back and forth to California on the weekends. It's $32,000 round trip. His flight total comes to $860,000. Well, somebody found out about that, and then Panetta said, well, I had permission from the White House. He said that he had a deal with the White House. Now the White House has come out and said, no, we didn't have any deal. Yeah, because there's all kinds of money being spent. So now if Obama is turning his back on Panetta and he's going under the bus, and the military is turning their back on Panetta, he's going under the bus, where does that leave Panetta? This stuff, what I'm telling you now, is going to be coming from all different directions. But timing is everything. You know, all right, Fukushima. I mean, that's almost a forgotten memory now. So if, you know, they started bringing this stuff up a while ago, it would already be forgotten. The same with, you know, the Gulf spill. So as we get closer to the election, and especially as we get closer to the 99% spring offensive, that's another thing that the military is really heated about. They know that the White House and all their little commie cronies are planning on starting a civil war, unrest, and everything else, and they're not really happy about this. So there's some judges on board, too, by the way, and I heard about the judges, too. So I'm telling you, hang tight. I, at one point, was really, really despondent. I was thinking, you know, nothing's happening. We're screaming. No one's listening. But I was encouraged today. Let me tell you the story about Panetta. This is from the Washington Times. Contradicting an account by a Pentagon official, the White House is denying that President Obama struck a deal with Defense Secretary Leon Panetta to allow him to commute home to California most weekends on a military aircraft at the cost of $32,000 per round-trip flight and a total of $860,000 as of early April. There's no deal here, White House spokesman Jay Carney told reporters Tuesday when pressed on the issue. The secretary has addressed the matter. He, I think, spoke about it, and he has decided to try to find a way, if there is, to reduce the cost. But you know, I don't have anything to add to it. Mr. Carney was responding to a question about whether the White House or Mr. Obama had negotiated with Mr. Panetta to allow the California commuting arrangement before Mr. Panetta accepted the Pentagon post. The defense secretary must use military aircraft for security and communications purposes, even during personal travel. But previous defense secretaries have lived in and around the Washington area and did not regularly travel across the country. Earlier this week, Mr. Panetta said he regrets the cost of the commute and will try to find a way to economize in the future. But he still maintained that the trips home to his family's Walnut Ranch in Monterey, California, are important. I've gone home because of my wife and family are there. And because, frankly, I think it's healthy to get out of Washington periodically just to get your mind straight and your perspective straight, he told reporters Monday. So he's saying, yeah, I had a deal. And the White House is saying, no, you didn't. So, you know, just look at the beginning statement here on that article. Contradicting an account by the Pentagon, officials at the White House are denying. So under the bus you go, Panetta. So now the military's throwing them under the bus and Obama's throwing them under the bus. Got anything to say about that, Joe? No, I lost her. I should probably open up her microphone. That would help.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been trying to say something, and I kept saying it. Blah, blah, blah. No, you wouldn't say that. I'm like, well, I guess my mic's not open. First of all, about a quarter to five, read a fresh new article that said one of the maid cleanup people at that hotel, that luxury hotel in Columbia, said when she took the police up there to investigate or whatever they were going to do, that she found two whiskey bottles and a line of white powdery substance on a clear coffee table. So now it's either the hooker's cocaine and or they're trying to frame them some more or something.
Yeah, well, you're right. I'm thinking that they're framing it. First of all, the Secret Service isn't just going to go hog wild. And the Delta Force military agents that were there, they're not going to go hog wild. You know, they have private parties. I'm telling you, if there was hookers in those rooms, they were being interviewed for future work, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, or, you know.
Or they were a setup. You know, there's
and,
a payback going
Ms.
on.
Snow,
the good.
Miss Snow, she's from one of those northeastern states. Olympia Snow, isn't that her name?
Olympia Snow, she's from Maine.
Okay, she alluded to several scenarios. One, that maybe they were spies. She said that today on TV. That maybe they were spies and they were being talked to. Or maybe she gave three examples of spies was one of them. So,
yeah.
I don't know where she got that from, but, you know, who knows what she knows.
All right, we'll figure it out. If you're, say, the Russians, and you want to get close to Obama's entourage that's coming up right behind this forward team, what do you think you do? Now, you know, these Obama's entourage, I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. And I don't even know the gender of the hookers. I know some of them were girls, but who knows?
Yeah, really.
Anyhow, there's some, you know, we all knew that this is not making sense. A luxury hotel does not argue with customers in the lobby. They just don't. Especially customers who have a huge government contract and have already been paid. You know, I mean, how much did it cost for these rooms and stuff? They already got their check from the United States government. They are not going to accost these guys. These guys from the Secret Service, they are not going to ruin the reputation. Now, figure, if you're a Russian, like I said, and you want to put some spies in there and get close to the Obama entourage, how would you do it? You'd do it with hookers, right? So, you know,
yeah.
Well, look what they did. They just threw that Chapman out of here because they were getting too close to Hillary, remember?
That was just 2 weeks ago, too.
Yeah, so, you know,
know it was Hillary. Wait, we don't know it was Hillary. It was a top-level, high-level member of the cabinet.
Yeah, of Hillary's cabinet. Anyhow, that's, you know, that makes sense. But if you want to discredit the Secret Service or the military, you'd send the hookers in, too. Guys, don't believe anything you hear on the media about this story, because I'm really not willing to send the Secret Service under the bus yet, or our Delta Force military members who were there. That's the forward team. They're supposed to go there to make sure that everything is safe and secure for the president. If there are spies, then it's not so safe and secure for Obama. But that, you know, I mean, they knew about this. They were replacing the whole forward team. Hillary's there. She's all wrecked. Obama's there. He's, you know, in Colombia. So, obviously, something went right. They're still there. Matter of fact, Hillary should have been at the nuclear summit in Turkey.
Yeah, no kidding. Now, I don't know how many people run with Hillary. But, I've never worked for the State Department. It's just my common sense. If Hillary and her group, that appeared to be all women, wanted to go out drinking and dancing, you would go probably to a little pub and say, look, you know, here's $5,000. Where's the place out? We're renting it for the night. You wouldn't be intermingling with a bunch of local people in a foreign country, especially a foreign country like Colombia. You wouldn't be intermingling. And then, if it's your people, your staff would surely know not to be taking pictures of each other drunk. So maybe some of those females that they were interviewing were part of Hillary's party.
Right.
Because, I mean, I only saw a couple pictures, but it was all women, all having a good time. I mean, nothing inappropriate going on. They were drinking and dancing and having a grand old time.
Yeah, nothing inappropriate was going on other than how did somebody get close enough to the United States Secretary of State with a camera while she was drunk? So
well, no.
It either
maybe she ran her secret service off, or I don't know. There's just too many what ifs out there. But it,
right.
What if what it is it stinks to high heaven, and it ain't what you know. It is not what we're being led to believe.
Yeah, I'm seeing in the chat room that there's somebody named Wilcox that they're talking about. I assure you, I do not know Wilcox. I don't know anything about any liens. But the information that we have for you right now did not come from anybody named Wilcox, did not come from Drake or any group like that. This came straight from the horse's mouth. So that's why I'm able to share it with you. Because these things, our contacts, I do trust. So... Anyhow, Lynn is saying paparazzi. No, it wasn't paparazzi. What if it was the Secret Service that put that out?
They wouldn't allow paparazzi in this when they're having a big drinking party.
Yeah.
Before we move
it,
on
it
has
to be somebody in that entourage or their security who got that picture out.
Mm-hmm. She may have, well, I don't know. Maybe they didn't plan on publishing the pictures until the rest of the stuff went crazy, and then they decided to say,
"Yeah, well, they knew those pictures from the L.A. Times were coming out." There is actually a war going on between the Secret Service and military and this administration. This I know. I know that the military is furious. I know that Panetta was confronted today. I know that it was a big hoorah at Panetta's office. I know that there was resignations and yelling and screaming and everything else. So watch the news. Keep your eyes and ears to the ground, because I am told that there is going to be a huge, huge scandal that's like hours from being put out. So just as soon as our information comes in, I will share it with you. I'm actually encouraged today. I've been down for a while, but I'm very, very encouraged today. So the military's on top of it. There's some judges on top of it. The newbies in our government and the Congress and stuff, the Tea Party Patriots, they're working on this diligently, like Alan West and Michelle Bachmann and the new people we put up there. There's going to be lawsuits. Now, you already heard about the lawsuit that they're suing about the recess appointments. That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. And, you know, this administration is trying to discredit our military, trying to discredit our Secret Service, and I think they're fighting back. Like I said, that picture never would have got out of Hillary.
Well, I have a really big picture in my mind of him trying to tell our military that he's going to create chaos and then order them into martial law. I bet they tell him, nah, not me, brother.
Yeah. Well, they're even sticking up for that guy with the Facebook page.
Well, of course. I'm sure they all feel the same way.
Yeah, well, you know, the guys in the ranks, they're saying, hey, our leaders aren't sticking up for us. We're getting smacked around by these people, and where's our leaders? You know, where's the generals? Where's the colonels? Where's the admirals? Where is everybody? How come you're letting us get slapped around like this? So now there is serious morale problems in the military. And if these leaders, these military leaders don't get a handle on it, there's going to be a mutiny. They know it. They know it's coming down. They know that Obama is trying to start a civil war. They know about all these communists. They're not stupid. And finally, you're going to start seeing some movement. Lynn's saying too many letdowns, and I agree with her. You all know us. We are forever, eternal, naturally skeptical of everything. I don't believe anything unless I know it for certain. Our contact has never, ever let us down. Every single thing we have heard from that person that we've shared with you has come true. So I will go with that one.
Our insider people are pretty doggone accurate, too.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if something goes askew with them, it's not because it wasn't the information wasn't right. It was maybe some plans got changed.
Oh, this information is right. This information is 100% right, and I will guarantee it. Now, there's some judges, too. If you remember the judge in New Jersey the other day, she said that she did allow his name on the ballot because that was her only jurisdiction. In her ruling, she put that she found that that birth certificate was a fraud, that it was forged. Now, she isn't in a position to do anything about it, but it is now part of a ruling, and it set precedent. So I'm sure there's a smart person out there already saying, well, this judge ruled it was a forgery. And the other judge in Georgia, he ruled that it was questionable.
A forgery, but he wasn't going to take him off the ballot. No, he
yeah,
pretty much said it was, but I don't remember his exact words. But
Dan from Montana saying, from Missouri rather, saying, ISA told the NRA at the convention that things would happen soon. Yes, Dan, things are going to happen. I'm telling you, things are going to happen. And they are happening. And I think we're hours from hearing what the scandal is. But it's big. Whatever's coming down, it's big, guys. Lynn, I know. I'll believe it when I see it. And even then, but you can see. You can see the things happening in the background. You can see these pictures are coming out that shouldn't come out. There is back and forth between the military and the administration. Panetta's getting it from all sides. ISA come out and said he's going to start pushing the contempt on Holder. You got Pete King doing investigations. You have the information that there was a hoorah at the Pentagon. You got all the information that the military is getting real antsy and they're not going to listen to this anymore. You know, it's like, sit down and shut up. We're not taking it anymore. So, yeah, just keep a little keep an open mind, all right? That's all I can tell you. But these scandals are coming out, and everything is just moving ahead. You know, there's only so much they can do, and so quickly they can do it. They have to have all their ducks in order. You can't just go rushing in there and do it half-assed, because it's going to end up half-assed. So you got to make sure that all your ducks are lined up, and I believe that the ducks are lining up. I believe the chips are hitting the fan, and just hang tight, guys, and be ready.
I sure wish we had a stronger Speaker of the House. I wish we had Bachman or West, either one, as Speaker of the House.
Yeah, I do too. However, even Alan West, he's not backing down.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about the communists, and they said, oh, yeah, you know, you're trying to scare everybody and all that. Let me tell you what Alan West said. Once again, Congressman Alan West from Florida minces no words, calls a spade, sugarcoats zilch when it comes to issues that are both relevant and important that surround each and every one of us daily. And, as usual, the Dems will have a big-time hissy fit, too. After all, we know they can't handle the truth whatsoever. It stings so much. Here he is telling it like it is when it comes to those on the Democrat side of the aisle in the House and what he believes, as many of us do. And this was by Fox. U.S. Congressman Alan West on Tuesday refused to back away from earlier remarks to constituents in Florida that dozens of Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives were communists. The freshman Republican, who is backed by conservative Tea Party activists, was asked at a forum whether he had second thoughts about calling the 78 members of the House Progressive Caucus communists. "I don't regret it whatsoever," said West, who's facing a tough race for re-election in November. "There's a very thin line between communism, progressivism, Marxism, socialism. It's about nationalizing production. It's about creating and expanding the welfare state. It's about this idea of social and economic justice," said the retired military officer. He did not back down. Way to go. Now, we know he's right. How many times have we put that DSA list out? How many times have we talked about the communists? We even know Panetta's best friend is a communist. We know everybody around Obama is a communist. Anita Dunn, she said that her favorite person was Chairman Mao. Ben Jones, he said he was a communist. You see them at the Occupy wearing the T-shirts that say CPUSA, carrying these big banners and flags. How can you look at that picture and say he's not a communist? He's wearing the T-shirt. He's carrying the flag and pulling a banner, all right? And it says communist all over it. The denial is really bad, but you know what? I am very proud that he did not back down, Alan West, because all of our research, every one of you out there, you know, how many communists have we outed? We all know. So, there you go.
Well? Well, I wasn't sure I still had a good signal. Before we move on, you know you're in Texas when you're driving down a four-lane highway, going through a little town, and a man on a horse with a little four-year-old in front of him just decides to cross the highway without even looking.
Goodness.
So I guess he's cowboyed up, and I guess he owns the road. But fortunately, I was going only 40 miles an hour and was watching him, thank goodness. Anyway, I thought, yeah, so that was a new one on me, just going from a business across the road to the housing area. Like, okay, well, we're transporting around people on horses now, and we own the road. We're not even going to look. We're just going to run right on out there. But anyway, I just thought that was funny. I know.
I'm glad you didn't hit them.
Well, me too. You'd have heard it. I had my mic open.
So compassionate. Hey, we got to take our first commercial break, and when we come back, we got more scandals, we got tons of news, we got all kinds of stuff going on here. So please, folks, stick around because we're not done.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
In these troubling times, we should all be thinking about food security. That is why CJ and Tallulah started Patriot Pantry. Patriot Pantry offers a delicious assortment of gourmet meals and beverages. Just add water, heat, and eat. Made and grown in America, except for a few tropical fruits, all natural, GMO and irradiation-free, kosher, and a gluten-free selection. Most of the products have a 25-year shelf life and are packed for easy storage. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks in a wide variety of packaging to fit every need and budget. So get your food freedom today. Visit patriotpantry.gofoodsglobal.com. That's patriotpantry.gofoodsglobal.com. And find Patriot Pantry on Facebook and Twitter, too. Thank you from CJ and Tallulah.
What's up with these sorry politicians? Lots of art. When it's showtime, whimpering like little shih tzus. You want big cuts. Ron Paul's been screaming it for years. Budget crisis? No problem. Got $1 trillion year one. That's trillion with a T. Department of Education? Gone. Interior? Energy? HUD? Commerce? Gone. Later, bureaucrats. That's how Ron Paul rolls. Want to drain the swamp? Ron Paul. Do it.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign Newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on. That's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
And hello again, everybody. We're back live. You're listening to Liberty Underground, the Moretti Report. I'm Joanne Moretti, your host, and my great co-host, JoJo Norton, is here with me, too, and we're happy you stuck around. Thank you. Our call-in number, as usual, is 347-324-3704, and our chat room over at freedomizerradio.com is open. When you get over there, you can both listen to the show and you can chat with all the cool people in the chat room. Speaking of cool people, we have Anna and Lynn over there, and they're putting all the links to our stories in and moderating the chat. And they're doing a good job over there, too, so you don't even have to search around for the links. Thank you, ladies. You do a great job. All right. We were talking about scandals. Let's get back to more scandals here. Michelle Malkin put out an article about the GSA. Now, that GSA story is really heating up, but there's more to that story, too. It's not just a couple of people. It's a pattern. Well, like I said, Michelle Malkin put out this article, and she says, "Stop the presses. Big spending Democrats are finally up in arms over a federal boondoggle. Details of the U.S. General Services Administration, Macahanalia, get worse by the day. We've graduated from overpriced breakfasts in Vegas, friends and family junkets galore, and in-house videos mocking their own profligacy to extravagant bonuses, alleged kickbacks, obstructionism, and bribes, along with stolen iPods and hot tub pics. But the scandal is still small potatoes compared to the potential billions GSA is pouring down the big labor train. Whistleblowers and an independent inspector general investigation estimate that the GSA's Sin City conference cost taxpayers an estimated $1 million in 2010. Washington bureaucrats squandered another $234,000 on public relations damage control. An interim GSA director announced Tuesday on Capitol Hill that 35 upcoming conferences would be canceled at a cost savings of less than $1 million. Democratic Representative Elijah Cummings of Maryland vowed that GSA officials would be made to pay back taxpayers. Okay, so listen, just, you know, add it up. This one conference cost $1 million, and then another $234,000 to do damage control. And now they got 35 upcoming conferences that are going to be canceled, and they're only going to save $1 million. They save $1 million on one of those conferences. 35, that could be $35 million or more. Says the arrogance of these civil servants is, of course, jaw-dropping. Regional Commissioner Jeff Neely, the Paris Hilton of GSA party animals, wrote in an invitation to personal friends, "We'll get you guys a room near us, and we'll pick up the room tab. I know, I'm bad, but as Deb and I often say, why not enjoy it while we have it and while we can? Ain't gonna last forever." Neely's gone, along with seven other top administrators, and the GSA travel budget has dried up for now. But this is just a sliver of the permanently enshrined waste that continues and constitutes the bread and butter business of the behemoth agency, which runs on a $45 billion annual budget, including $5.5 billion in federal stimulus money to overseas Capitol buildings projects. Thanks to Obama, whose White House reflectively tried to blame party in the GSA gate on the Bush administration, the federal government is steering that money towards big labor patrons with a proven track record of cost overruns, construction delays, and corruption. As I've reported previously, the linchpin is Executive Order 13502, a union-friendly executive order signed by Obama in his first weeks in office. It essentially forces contractors who bid on large-scale public construction projects worth $25 million or more to submit to union representation for its employees. The blunt instrument used to give unions a leg up is the Project Labor Agreement, which in theory sets reasonable pre-work terms and conditions. But in practice, it requires contractors to hand over exclusive bargaining control to pay inflated above-market wages and benefits and to fork over dues money and pension funding to corrupt cash-starved labor organizations. And it says these anti-competitive agreements undermine the fair bidding process. So the total price tag for the GSA projects built with PLAs remains unknown. But here's one example. The Washington Examiner reported in 2010 that the GSA paid the federal Lafayette Building General Contractor an additional $3.3 million above the initial $52 million contract to ensure that the project was built with a union payback. The Obama administration had previously tried to slip a PLA mandate into a $35 million job center construction project in New Hampshire, but retreated when state contractors challenged the provision as an unfair restriction on competition. So it says, among the GSA administrators fired over the Vegas Palooza was Robert A. Peck, chief of the agency's public building service. That's the same office overseeing the $5.5 billion in stimulus contracts for capital projects like the Lafayette Building. But neither Peck nor any other GSA official nor the White House has been held accountable for job-killing union favoritism in its everyday contract. And the article goes on, but you get the drift. You can see what's going on. So what do you think about that article, Joe?
I didn't hear it. I was in my dead spot.
Oh. I was talking about the corruption in this GSA, and they said that this trip, right, it cost $1 million, well, $800,000, and almost $1 million, and it says that they squandered another $234,000 on public relations. And
that's
then
a million.
Yeah, so then it goes on to say that now that they've been busted, they're going to cancel 35 trips, and they're only going to save $1 million.
Well, I just found it daily they shred the Constitution until they get in trouble, and all of a sudden the Constitution's important, and they can plead the Fifth, and they can just have the gall to not even show up for court. Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the guy pleads the Fifth Amendment.
So I'm talking
you know?
About. That's the only time they
yeah.
use our Constitution when it's to their benefit, not when it's to our benefit, that's for sure.
Exactly. You know, this guy, we can't let him get reelected. Can you imagine if he gets another term, what the Supreme Court would look like? You know that, what's her name, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, she's not going to last forever. She wants out this next term, so, you know, there's at least one opening. So can you imagine the radicals and the commies he'll put in there? If no other reason that we get rid of him, get rid of him for that. You know, he's already overthrown the Congress and the Senate. He has slapped the military into, you know, into submission. He has already made a run on the court. You know, he's talking trash about them and trying to stack the courts and everything else. So, if you know, just think about what would happen. I tell you, we have to start accepting the hand we've been dealt. You know, we should have been doing maybe more to get a third party going or whatever. But in the meantime, we're going to have to play the hand we're dealt. You know, you can win a poker game with a pair of twos if you play the
yeah.
game right. So you could win a poker game with an ace high if you play it right. Now, I think that I personally, now this is my own opinion, I'm not endorsing anybody, but I would rather have Romney picking judges than Obama.
Well, I'm not going to have a comment because, you know.
No, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, come on,
it's
inevitable. That's, you know, this is what's going to happen. We all know, we've been talking about it for 2 years, that Romney's going to be the nominee, whether we like it or not.
Well,
I don't like
it. I don't know how we stop it. The votes are going to be counted in Spain. I don't know how that's going to work, the electoral thing, but whoever they decide is going to be the president is who it's going to be. You know, that's why I can't get too excited about anything.
Yeah, well,
you know, maybe we can pull something off at the convention. I don't know.
Well, I'd like that, you know. But, you know, if this is the way it's going to be, then we better start figuring out how we're going to do it. And
I was so
encouraged with that news today. You know, people out
if
there.
If I was one of the 20-something states left to vote, even if I liked Romney, I would be voting for Nooter Paul to try to get a brokered convention.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, he hasn't got the, you know, he's the presumptive nominee, but he's not the actual nominee. He does not have the delegates to be the nominee right now. And Santorum is not giving up his, and he's not endorsing Romney. That's a big message, too.
So what happened at the convention with Santorum electoral votes, the people in the Electoral College get to put them where they want them?
No, I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go, but he's not releasing his delegates, so maybe he doesn't, you know, maybe he's not all the way out of the race. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to go. But I do know that we cannot allow Obama to be reelected. We have to be all over that election, all over those votes. We have to check those machines once when you receive them, once before you vote, and make sure that it actually tallies the vote the way it was voted. You don't say, okay, yeah, it worked. You know, you make sure that you know what you're putting in that machine and make sure the numbers come back the same way. We also know that there's going to be problems. This summer, by the summer, the problems are either going to be full-blown or they're going to be over because the spring offensive is up. The spring offensive is on us. As a matter of fact,
Mayday, May 1st.
Yep, exactly. Our friend, Carol, she sent a research link, and it was actually a really, really good link. I'm going to look on my Facebook page and see if I can find it so I can share it in the chat room. But this information that she sent, it has a whole listing of all these little commie groups and these trainings that they're going on, you know, that they're doing. I'm looking for it.
The place where you put your zip code in and it shows you the one within. And there's even a little key you can put within 100 miles of my house, within 50 miles, whatever, whatever. And you put your zip code in, and it'll show you where the closest meeting is, how many people have registered. Of course, that was last week. They've already had their training.
Yeah. Well, this year is a different list. I did see that list. Where the hell did it go? I just had it in my hand here. I did see the list, but this is a different list that I'm talking about. And this has a whole bunch of training places and stuff. I found the list now. I'm going to put it in the chat room. But, oh, no, that's the real plus 20. That's the wrong one.
And speaking of the NATO and the Rio plus 20, you know, they got split up. And Rom got mad. He wanted both of them in Chicago. But one of them got moved to Camp David. The NATO meeting got moved to Camp David.
Mm-hmm.
This was decided about, I don't know, a month ago, 6 weeks ago. So all they're going to have is the G20 in Chicago. But yet they've been having all this training for the G20. They've been flying black helicopters around. They've been doing all kinds of black ops kind of training. And, you know, maybe that's what some of those DHS vehicles were seeing. A friend of mine in Alabama, who lives on a little country road, saw a whole convoy last week. And she said, you know, she'd lived there 35 years and had never seen a quote-unquote National Guard convoy come her way, and they were headed north. She was in Alabama, so we were trying to figure out where they were going, where they might have been. But then she said the only base reasonably close to her was at Fort McClellan, and that's the one we checked out about 4 or 5 months ago. That's a closed base that got turned into a DHS base.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they were moving equipment from one DHS base to another to get closer to Chicago. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to connect some dots.
Well, you know, he moved, you're right, the UN part of it over to Camp David because he was smart because he didn't want to have all those international people getting hassled by the unwashed masses, of course, the people that he's got suckered into running his election for him and getting making everybody aggravated, the occupied people and all the commies and stuff.
The G20 is international. There'll be all kinds of international people.
Yeah, but it won't be like prime ministers and stuff. It'll be second tier. But the NATO group, we are NATO. So, you know, they're all the military aspect and the humanitarian and all that baloney that lies. But he doesn't care, you know, if they're protesting because that's the military part. He's a pacifist. He doesn't care about that. He doesn't care if Chicago gets torn up. As a matter of fact, he's planning on it. Over there in Chicago, they call that urban renewal. They don't care if they burn the city down. They get a whole bunch of money and rebuild it again. You know, Valerie Jarrett will get the contract on it. I put that link in the chat room, by the way, for the BRIC forum. And that tells you everybody, you know, where things are happening and the dates and all of that. So be aware of that. In the meantime, you know, these guys, they're going to... All these commies, all these groups, the MUVONs and the Weather Underground and all them, they are calling it a spring offensive. They are going to war over, you know, they're going to war. They want to start a civil war. They want to start unrest. They want to move us to some global baloney. So
do you
now,
think wait, do you think these blue collar, hard working American people that are all these unions that are being coerced by the MoveOn.org and the commies, do you think they don't they know, or do you think they know that they're associating with commies?
I think maybe the kids are getting the message because there is a falling out in the groups. You know, a lot of the kids aren't coming back. A lot of the kids, they wanted to be sincere. They wanted to save the world. They wanted to do the right thing. You know, we've talked about that. But
well,
now
these,
that they know that...
They were advertising for union. They were advertising. They had 10 different union organizations listed on the one I read. I don't know if it was that they were the advertisers part or what. I'm just saying, I could just don't have a picture of a union welder, you know, being going to these meetings and not knowing maybe who he was associating with. I mean,
wow.
Are they falling for it? I mean, I don't know. You know, most union people are blue-collar, hard-working American people.
Yeah, well, these unions are taking these people's union dues, and then they're paying homeless people to go there and protest. You know, they're making $60 a day. And you can tell the ones that are getting paid because they show up on buses, they stay 4 hours, they get back on the bus, and they leave. They don't hang around. They don't stay overnight at the camps or anything like that. Or they go up to, like, the port up there in Portland, and they, you know, cause a whole bunch of trouble, and then they all get on a bus and they leave. Now, those are that's the AstroTurf. Those are the ones that are getting paid. The kids, the ones that are sincere, the ones that did stick around until the homeless people forced them out. You know, they are disillusioned now. They're like, no, this isn't what we thought it was going to be. You know, you got us sitting out here in the cold, and you're feeding us nuts and berries and roots, and then, you know, you come in and you take over in the daytime, you know, wearing all your bling and pulling up in your limousines and saying you're going to do this, you're going to do that. You know, after a while, the kids said, no, wait a minute, you're not staying here all night. That's us. So you're not pushing us around. So that's how it started to fall apart. And if you notice, these training sessions that we've been watching, like the one that link that you put your zip code in, it tells you, they had wanted 50 people. One of them only got 12. Another one only got like 5 or 6. So they're worried that this is fizzling out. They got the black groups all crazy, thinking that the white people are after them, or they're gonna get that somebody's gonna make out more, or they're gonna make out better than someone else, you know. So that they're doing this class envy and race envy and everything else. Some people are falling for it, but most people are wising up now. You know, the parents of these kids that are getting suckered by these groups, they're saying, hey, wait a minute, no, you're not gonna go out and play with Louis Farrakhan and Jesse Jackson. Louis Farrakhan and Jesse Jackson are going to be at Farrakhan's house at the cookout while you're out in the street bleeding. You know,
yeah,
so,
and Farrakhan said that our end is coming if we don't change our ways.
Oh, yes, he did. You want to hear that? Because I got that right in front of me, too. Guys,
might as well. I'm upset. He's just mouthing off. But
yeah, but they let this guy go into colleges and distort little, you know, young people's minds. Louis Farrakhan.
Well, they let Obama talk at colleges, too. They ain't a lot of different.
Yeah, well, they
never
know.
Mind. That was
well,
out
that's
first.
That's what they know. They troll in the universities and they troll the churches. That's exactly the same exact thing that Reverend Jim Jones did. He trolled the churches looking for very nice, loving, peaceful people who didn't have very strong minds. And he suckered them. You know, a pathological narcissist can get people to do things they wouldn't ordinarily do. And Obama fits that. Farrakhan fits that, too. Now, this is from The Blaze. Farrakhan praises Pat Buchanan as a great Republican and warns whites, unless you change, your end has come. Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan continued his college speaking tour on Monday night at the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. While his address included many of the racially charged elements we've heard in other related lectures, the minister added in some new comments about whites, his personal experience with using marijuana, and he even showered some praise upon conservative commentator Pat Buchanan. In addressing whites, Farrakhan has issued his typically offensive rhetoric. They know you, but you don't know them or yourself, so you're always at a disadvantage when you sit with white people to negotiate, he told his predominantly black audience. We don't ever come in their presence like we're some little weak things. He continued going on to address Caucasians directly. I know myself, I know you. And some of you white people, I know you better than you know yourself, because God has revealed you fully, he explained, going on to seemingly claim that he has a special God-ordained ability to see what others can't. This, of course, was followed up with a cryptic warning to white Americans about their need to change. It ain't about hating you. We ain't got no time for that, but we know who we're dealing with. We know what we're dealing with, he said. We know your origin in the world, and we know how long you were set to live. And unless you change, your end has come. Imagine that. Your end has come. So what happens after that? What's the prize? You get rid of all the white people in the world. What did you win? Is there like an award? Is there money? Is there what's in it? You think anybody's going to make out better? Oh, God. That type of stuff makes me really, really angry. Your end has come. Can you imagine saying that to black people or Spanish people or Asian people? How come it's okay?
Well, you know what? What I want everybody, whatever color they are, whatever gender they are, whatever everything, in order to save our country, we have got to work together.
Absolutely.
I don't care if you're polka dot. I mean, if you want to be a real American and you want to save this country for the great country that it was, then, you know, not one race can do it by themselves.
Look at our military.
Gender can do it by themselves.
Look at our military. People of
they're
all races
and they get
gender.
Along.
They get along
and they get
just
along.
Fine. They're working together for the single cause. Well, you know, what's the matter with the rest of us?
I don't know.
We better get over that, and we better start talking to our black and Spanish and Asian and Native American brothers and sisters and tell them, don't listen to that crap. You know? No, it's insane. All right, let's see here. I got Occupy, Move On, SEIU, AFL-CIO, Street Mobs are starting their spring training. This is a different link than the one I put in the chat room. This one's from Forbes. Rejoice, those of you who believe that democracy is about making clear and honest choices. Clear steps towards transparency and accountability may have begun. All pretenses that the hibernating Occupy movement is a self-sustaining, independent, primal scream against, well, no one really sure what they're against, are over. Like it or not, Occupy is now being officially fronted by a coalition of organized, disciplined, well-financed, progressive advocacy groups proclaiming themselves the 99% Spring. Their announced goal is to unleash 100,000 enraged activists trained in civil disobedience onto America's streets. The demonstrators will not profess to be nonviolent, but they will inevitably be flanked by others who are not nonviolent. It's going to be a long, hot summer as these shock troops and their fellow travelers seek to extract a bloody price if they don't get what they want. The good news is that these organizations and the leftist politicians they support will not be able to disavow the actions of the people they draw into the streets once things turn ugly. The 99% Spring website features a stunning agitate prop video, complete with musical accompaniment by none other than Bruce Springsteen. Take a moment to watch the video and see how skillfully they manipulate imagery and emotions. Joseph Goebbels would be proud. Then look at the long list of supporting organizations and the coordinating messages on each sponsored organization's website. There's a partial tally that says here, can you spot a pattern? MoveOn.org, the Ruckus Society, Progressive Democrats of America, International Brotherhood of the Teamsters, that's HAFA, remember, Mr. Obama Weirami? Service Employee International Union, that's SEIU, United Auto Workers, AFL-CIO, Greenpeace, United Steelworkers, National Education Association, Communications Workers of America, Rainforest Action Network, American Federation of Teachers, American Federations of State, County, and Municipal Employees. Every one of these groups has now openly declared class warfare, and they intend to fight this war, not at the ballot box, but on the streets. MoveOn.org has gone so far as to create a separate group to finance the 99% Spring. MoveOn.org Civic Action is a 501c organization, while the electoral work remains housed in MoveOn, their PAC. So why are these special interest groups going all in? Because they understand that our country is approaching a tipping point. 4 more years on our current trajectory, and there will be no turning back. When an electoral majority owes its daily bread to the government and doesn't care where that bread came from, democracy enters a fiscal death spiral. We've seen this scenario play out violently in Greece, Spain, and Portugal, and are dangling on the precipice, supported only by temporary bank bailouts. Given the unsustainable size of our country's unfunded entitlement liabilities and economy groaning under the weight of growth-killing federal interventions, there's no reason why the same thing can't happen here. Anyhow, if America has any second thoughts about saying a final farewell to its roots as a constitutionally limited republic of strictly enumerated powers, this is our last chance. Unless we radically change course, we will be irrevocably committing to a future as a European-style social democracy where equality of outcomes trumps liberty, redistribution of wealth replaces private property, and entitlements supplant opportunity. And that is precisely what the occupiers want. Street action will start slowly as the 99% spring builds its brand with the mainstream media fawning assistance. Look for an emphasis on non-threatening kumbaya imagery as a compliant journalist buries some of the movement participants' wilder statements in favor of paeans to Mahatma Gandhi and Martin Luther King. Any outbreaks of violence that do occur will either be explained as aberrations that are contrary to the values of the organization or blamed on outside agitators. Look for some warm-up exercises in Los Angeles, Boston, Oakland, and New York on May 1st, the traditional day of protest for left-wing labor movements worldwide. No one expects trouble, but tensions will be running high. Next up is Chicago. President Obama has cleverly relocated the scheduled G8 summit to his retreat at Camp David, where he can keep disruptions at bay. But the NATO summit, scheduled for late May, will go on in Chicago as planned. Expect the 99% spring to be there, along with denials about their responsibility for the broken windows, trash storefronts, and cat-and-mouse police confrontations. As spring turns into summer, these evasions will begin to wear thin. The Supreme Court's anticipated Obamacare ruling will add to the explosive mix. Expect an outpouring of direct action if the ruling doesn't go the president's way. High noon will arrive at the Democratic and Republican national conventions, attracted by the media swarm, enraged by what is sure to be massive police presence, and ready to make their closing arguments before the weather turns cool. Watch these arguments get made with Molotov cocktails. I hope I'm wrong.
Oh, man, and just think, I mean, this is a little bitty part of it, and it's not nearly as bad as the people that may get hurt. But now here we go again. All these small businesses in all these major cities will have to shut their businesses down.
Yep.
I mean, you know, sandwich shops, restaurants, barber shops, beauty shops, I don't know, even banks. I mean, any little old business you can think of. Retail,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, look at, they are in Oakland. Oakland is a good example of what to expect everywhere. You know, they say we're mostly peaceful. Well, mostly peaceful doesn't mean completely peaceful. So when the windows are smashed and things are burning and people get hurt, they're, you know, things are going to get really, really, really ugly unless we have an intervention, which is what I was talking about earlier. It looks to me like there is possibly going to be an intervention. Pray, folks.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. Well,
I have a couple of... Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, it wasn't important. I'm thinking even with the intervention, we may not be able to stop all of it because they're all trained and ready to go. And their thoughts, their minds are filled with these thoughts already.
I'm a nervous wreck because it's coming to a head. It cannot continue the way it's going. Everybody is all freaked out. Look at us. Every day I rant on this radio show about how, you know, crazy things are. Every day I say, you know, I'm screaming into the wind here. We're all screaming into the wind. Nobody's paying attention. Where is everybody? Everybody's been working quietly and diligently, but we didn't know that. Of course, you know, if we knew it, then that would have given away the element of surprise. But the chips are hitting the fan, ladies and gentlemen. The safety nets that we have in place, like the military, like the Patriot, some Patriots that we still have in Congress and in the courts, they know what's happening. The military knows what's happening. And I think that the adults are stepping in. They know if those adults that we depend on don't step in, the rest of the adults are going to. They know that if these commies and occupiers think they're just going to waltz in and take over our streets and take over our neighborhoods and start smashing and burning things, there's going to be a few people who are going to try to put a stop to that. Is that what they want? I know that the Obama administration wants a civil war, but I think that any normal people would say, well, you know, that's probably not the best plan. Maybe if we work together, we can do it.
Well, I just wish people would wake up and realize what they do every day to take away states' rights. Every day it's treason. Every day they take more and more of our Constitution away. Now, one thing that is encouraging is the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals actually ruled in Arizona's favor over voter ID. Now, that's a biggie. That's the most liberal one we got.
Oh,
so
yeah.
That's big. The other thing I saw yesterday that I also saw again today that I think is horrendous is Illinois has a law that if you win the lottery, you have to be public with it. How do they have the right to tell somebody that you have to come public? It's, you know, these people that won 200 and something million dollars or whatever. I mean, you know, how can you tell an individual that they have to do that? It blows my mind.
Yeah, that blows my mind, too, really. It's not your business how much money that guy's got in his pocket or his bank account. He bought his ticket.
You know,
well, but it is a contract. It is a contract. When you go to cash in that ticket, right there on the ticket, it says that you have to go public. I don't know. I don't know why that would be. Hey, we have a caller. Let's open
all
up
right,
this mic.
Well, I'm going to hang up for about 5 minutes.
I'm going to open up this mic, and it's a regular. Larry,
is
that you?
No, it's not me. It's not me. I promise it's not me.
All right, we can hang up then. It's not Larry.
Okay, bye, Larry. Bye, not Larry.
Bye, Larry. Crazy girl.
What's on your mind today, Larry?
Well, I kind of have a bone to pick.
With me? Oh, bring it. I've been looking for that. I'm ready.
Okay, first, I mean, gosh. First of all, Olympia Snow, she's a communist or whatever. She's New World Order. I can't stand her. She ought to be shipped out of country or hung from a tree after a fair trial. Notice I said fair trial, okay? Two, Rahm, you know, let me put up an analogy first, okay? You have a guy in your house. His name is Charlie Manson. You want him gone. So you replace him with who? Jeffrey Dahmer? Ted Bundy? Ted Kaczynski? What? No. All right, you get rid of Obama and you get Newt Gingrich or Mitt Romney. They're all the same. They're New World Order minions. We're not getting anything better, okay?
You don't understand, Larry. People are awake.
I do understand. Believe me, I do. I'm one of the first people to get in line and say, get rid of the bum. But I'm not going to replace him with the same old, same old. And Mitt Romney is a flip side of the same stinky sewer, okay?
So what's your plan? Who do we put up?
Two people, okay? One, Ron Paul, stop acting like he doesn't exist when the polls say he does, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the attendance to his crowds is obvious. He blows everybody away, for one. Two,
what do you think the chances are of that?
Well, you know, it's like Stalin said, it doesn't matter who votes, it matters who controls the vote.
Yep.
All right. Also, another problem I have is this Michelle Malkin. She's a New World Order minion. She called Tea Party people before they got infiltrated, tin hat people, tea baggers, the whole nine yards.
Michelle Malkin did?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Anybody that, yes. I heard it from her own lips.
Michelle Malkin and Michelle Bachmann.
Hold on. Michelle
Bachmann. Representative.
Today I have any faith in Michelle Bachmann, is the day that she stands up to the United States and apologizes for being a jackbooted thug for the IRS. To this day, she has not. To this day, she has fought against Ron Paul to audit the Fed and to get rid of him. She made it to where that audit that Ron Paul put forward was modified so it had no teeth to it. She's a minion of the Fed, which makes her a minion of the New World Order.
I don't know. I don't know, man. I don't know. I think there's some redemption coming.
Hold on.
I think there's some redemption coming.
No.
And I think you're going to see it real soon. I think that there's a couple of people who are really sorry that they had fallen into
a trap,
and they're about
Jesus
to make
said,
it right.
Jesus said you cannot serve God and the devil at the same time. It's either one or the other.
Well, I'm seeing
and
some redemption.
I've talked to people that have worked in the past for the IRS, and at first they went in thinking they were doing the right thing.
Uh-huh.
But eventually, after working for them for a while, they found out, even though they're compartmentalized, they found out, oh, man, they're not part of the government. I was like, well, duh. And they quit. They didn't care what the money was. They had a conscience. They couldn't go to work every day and hate themselves. They had to quit. Michelle Bachmann was a jackbooted thug for them. She was not this nice Christian lady. You can't be a Christian
and
do that job. I do know, man.
Okay. Well, I don't know, but I'm hoping,
and I hate to
I'm
be
hoping
like
to
a
see
steamroller.
Some redemption because I think
well,
maybe she might be working.
You know what? I give up. I believe it when I see it. Until I see it, I haven't heard her come out and say, America, I'm sorry.
Well, I don't
think. I apologize.
I don't think that there's going to be that. I think that there's going to be
right.
bigger.
I want to hear her apologize that she fought against Ron Paul on the audit for the Fed. I want to hear that
apologize. All right, believe me, I like Ron Paul. I think that they should put him inside that Fed.
Who else is constitutionalist? Who else has actually served in the military for this country that's running for president? Not Romney. Romney, first of all, is not even eligible because both your parents have to be U.S. citizens. He has the same problem Oblabra does. He's not even eligible. He shouldn't even be on the ballot.
Now, right now, we got some real big issues.
We're going from one bad thing to another bad thing. They shouldn't even be an option, darling.
I understand, but Larry, you got to understand something, too.
And
right now, we're out of time. We are out of time.
We go from Ted Bundy to Jeffrey Dahmer in my house to babysit my kids? No! Because that's what you're doing with...
So what are we
going to
do? What's your plan? What are we going to do? Because we're out of time, and we have been dealt a hand.
You start an outcry.
And we better learn how to play this hand very, very
because we've got a lot of time if we don't. You start an outcry against Sticky Mitts not being eligible, and the only real eligible candidate that's worth a damn for we the people is Ron Paul. Not Lizard Gingrich, who is Council of Foreign Relations, and all of a sudden now he's trying to act like a Tea Party person. Give me a break. He's the one who
Newt did some good things, too. You know,
When he was Speaker of the House,
that's why they don't like him. When he was Speaker of the House, everybody's trying to recreate the Clinton years. I mean, believe me, I know the difference. But I'm talking about normal people. I'm talking about normal people, not people that know stuff like we do.
Gingrich,
you know, they don't know things like that.
I do know things. Gingrich helped pass the Brady Bill that Sheriff Richard Mack fought against and won, by the way. Gingrich helped get rid of and co-sponsored getting rid of the Glass-Steagall Act. Forget about the little itty-bitty things that he did that, makes him look great. Let's look at the major things he did for the New World Order that hurt we, the people.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
But how are we going to slow that down? You know, a lot of people are over it now. So we're going to be, whoever makes it as president is going to be under such a microscope that they're not even going to be able to breathe unless we know
it. Ron Paul's been under a microscope for 30 years.
Ron Paul's been around for how long? And what type of
It's a running joke around D.C. in the Beltline. Lobbyists don't waste their time with him because they know he's going to tell them to take a hike. He's not for sale. That's the guy you want. That's why they don't like him.
But we got two chances of that, slim and none. JoJo, your microphone's open.
All right.
Yeah.
JoJo, we hear you making noise.
What?
I apologize for getting riled up, but you
that's
know,
all right.
I'll fight you. I'm ready for it. Hey, the Scottish in me is always. Hey, Joanne, the Scottish in me is always ready for a fight. My family's been here since before the French and Indian Wars. They helped build this country. I don't have a short temper.
I just react very fast.
I don't have it. There you go. That's the way. Well,
we got another phone caller here.
All right. You go for it. Expose Sticky Mitts. We don't need him. We don't want him.
Well,
okay?
Sometimes you got to deal with what you dealt.
I don't think any of us are going to have a choice because I think they're going to.
You're right, because they're going to appoint. They're going to appoint exactly. They're going to appoint who they want, no matter what the American people say. You got it. But God bless you both, girls.
All right, God bless you too, Larry. Thank you for calling
in. Bye. You bet.
All right, now we have another phone caller, and this is also a very familiar number. If I can get the microphone open, where'd it go? Okay, here it is. JoJo, I think you know this person, too. 304, you're live.
Who, me?
Yeah,
hey,
you.
Hey, what's up?
I just thought I'd get in your chat room and mess it up. I got them all going nuts.
Yeah, why are you doing that, acting up? Ladies and gentlemen, I think we have Drake on the phone.
How about that?
Yeah.
You do.
So what brings you to our show today?
Well, wait, is this the real Drake, or is this the other Drake?
What?
And I was making a joke. Is this Drake, or is this I'm the real Drake, or is this the other Drake?
This is the Drake that just says Drake.
All right. Drake equals Drake.
So what's on your mind today, Drake?
What's
on your mind today?
What's on my mind? Just all the stuff I got told I ain't had confirmed yet, but I heard rumors that the military is so upset that they decided to declare war on all the turkeys in the world, and that they were going to make arrests whether anybody liked it or not, and a whole bunch of other stuff. So, you know.
Yeah, well, I didn't hear about arrests, but I heard that they were ripping furious, and I heard that earlier in the show I was telling people about a little brouhaha that happened at Panetta's office today, and that the military's had enough of it. And everybody's turning their back on Panetta, as a matter of fact. Obama threw him under the bus, said, I didn't okay him traveling like that and making expenses. And Panetta said, yes, you did. And then when the military showed up and they were like, we're not putting up with you anymore. And, you're trying to wreck this country, and when you're letting people talk bad about our soldiers and, what's going on here in Afghanistan, you're going to get us all killed and all these lies and these pictures and what's going on. You don't stand up for the military, well, they're not going to stand up for you. So see you, pal. I heard that part.
Well, then I heard the Secret Security Service was all upset, too, and, had their shorts in a bunch about being outed as a bunch of hoe chasers and whatnot. And then I heard that Delta Force got involved in it, and I imagine everybody's just all mad at everybody.
Yeah, well, I heard that, too. I heard that the Secret Service is ripping, that Delta Force is ripping, that all that trash that went on in Cartagena in Colombia. And as a matter of fact, with Hillary Clinton being all trashed and everything and getting pictures, wasn't she supposed to be in Turkey at the nuke summit that had everything to do with Iran and they blew it off?
Well, what do you do?
Benjamin Netanyahu is a little.
Well, wait.
Beat
off. I want to hear, Drake, I want your opinion on how somebody that got that close to her with the camera. I've already spouted my opinion. What's yours?
How close to who with the camera?
Hillary.
Yeah, how did anybody get that close to Hillary Clinton while wrecked with
a
camera?
Well, come on now. The Secret Service is supposed to be watching, ain't they?
Yeah, I guess they were watching.
Yeah.
Okay, now, if you took
a giant dump on... It had to be somebody very close to get that close.
If you took a giant dump on the Secret Service, what would you expect them to do?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I think
they
went ha-ha right back in your face, and, now you know why. She wanted to go partying or, I mean, you know, pick an excuse. That's basically all it seems that politics has become lately. But, you know, I've been hearing some rumblings from different places that kind of tend to confirm what I was just talking about, too. So I haven't had a full confirmation. I hope I do, but...
I didn't hear anything about any liens or any mass arrests or anything like that, but I sure heard about some hard talk and bad feelings. And I also heard that there is a major scandal about to break. So I don't know what the scandal is. I didn't get the details on that, but I just heard, keep your eyes and ears open. You'll see it.
Exactly. I also heard some things were going to come public, too, about 10 days ago or so. That are not going to be exactly what everybody wants to see in the public, but, you know, everyone's
talking.
Well,
you got to understand, whatever they're doing, they have to do it with decorum and class because it could affect the entire world. So, you know, you're not going to see it as one big motion. It's going to be piece at a time, and it's going to be metered out. But you will see it. You will see it. You will feel it. You will hear it. You will know it.
It's coming, I know that.
Yeah.
The ground is shaking, you can feel it, hear the hoofprints.
Okay, Drake, I want to ask you something else because you're ex-military and you have a high security clearance at one time and all that stuff. I personally know a guy that is Marine Recon, and he goes on all kinds of little missions. I don't know where, he can never tell anybody where he's at. But I know what kind of a person he is, and he has told people that they have these meetings once a month to make sure they understand their responsibility for decorum. So they don't even want these people drinking, much less going to bars. So when they're back at their home base, they may have like a little barbecue at their house, but these guys aren't out running this. They are professionals. And I'm assuming Delta is too, and I certainly am assuming the Secret Service is. Now that's my feelings of it. I think they're really being scammed.
Well, my experience having dealt with these people basically goes to what the assignment is, and you act accordingly. In other words, if you're on a diplomatic assignment, such as security in a foreign country, you conduct yourself as a diplomat. You do not get sloshed. You do not partake in festivities, and you watch what's going on, and you are absolutely polite, et cetera, top manners. Same thing's true of any military person who is deployed in a foreign area. They are basically briefed that they should be on their best behavior simply so that they do not disparage the uniform they're wearing themselves. And the United States military, the country, or the people, I mean, you don't go embarrassing people. That is not done. Most of the people that are chosen for those positions are people that can be trusted to act accordingly. So my opinion of it is that it's all BS.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely all BS. But, you know, who knows? Who knows? Maybe they were interviewing for the rest of the troop that was coming. And when they got busted there, they couldn't say, well, it's not our hook, because it's for the Obama entourage. And I don't know. Something big is up. Something very, very big is up. And I know the military is not putting up with it. And did you hear Colonel Peters today? He freaked out about it. He tore into General Allen and Panetta and the Obama administration, the L.A. Times, anybody who would dog our soldiers. He even told Connie, why don't you join the military and see what it's like? He went off.
I doubt most of the people that they'd like to get in the military can handle it.
No kidding.
So, Drake, thank you very much for stopping by.
Hey, no problem. I don't mind showing up once in a while. Besides, now the chat room knows that I'm real, so now I can go back in there and play.
All right. Be nice to me.
Bye-bye.
All right. Hey, Drake, thank you very much for calling in. We have to take a hard break now, but I'll be in touch.
Oops, he's already gone.
Okay. And we really do have to take a break. So... stick around, guys. We'll be right back because we got a ton more stuff. We didn't even get to Anthony's article or anything. So we'll be right back, folks.
Okay.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident your financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience, concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? Subscribe now for a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster. Experience the difference. Subscribe now online at www.theinternationalforecaster.com. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain tailored investment advice just for you. Don't wait. Get online and subscribe today. www.theinternationalforecaster.com.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
In these troubling times, we should all be thinking about food security. That is why CJ and Tallulah started Patriot Pantry. Patriot Pantry offers a delicious assortment of gourmet meals and beverages. Just add water, heat, and eat. Made and grown in America, except for a few tropical fruits. All natural, GMO and irradiation-free, kosher, and a gluten-free selection. Most of the products have a 25-year shelf life and are packed for easy storage. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks in a wide variety of packaging to fit every need and budget. So get your food freedom today. Visit patriotpantry.gofoodsglobal.com. That's patriotpantry.gofoodsglobal.com. And find Patriot Pantry on Facebook and Twitter, too. Thank you from CJ and Tallulah.
What's up with these sorry politicians? Lot of bark. When it's showtime, whimpering like little shih tzus. You want big cuts. Ron Paul's been screaming it for years. Budget crisis, no problem. Cut $1 trillion year one. That's trillion with a T. Department of Education, gone. Interior, Energy, HUD, Commerce, gone. Later, bureaucrats. That's how Ron Paul rolls. Want to drain the swamp? Ron Paul. Do it.
I'm Ron Paul, and I approve this message.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
And we're back again live. You're listening to Liberty Underground, the Moretti Report. I'm Joanne Moretti, you all know that. And my great co-host JoJo Norton is here. You all knew that too, right? Our call-in number is 347-324-3704. And our chat room at FreedomizerRadio.com is open. Lynn and Anna are moderators. They're over there. They're putting all the links to our stories up, so you don't even have to go searching the web. Plus, over there is a player box, so you can watch the chat room and you can listen to the show. So head on over there. Plus, we could use the numbers. I didn't get a chance to play a lot of show promos today, but, you know, follow freedomizerradio.com because we have a lineup and we have so many great show hosts here that it's hard to even list them all. Just, you know, keep your ears on Freedomizer Radio and we'd appreciate that too. All right, JoJo, we're back.
All right.
We were talking about movement and we were talking about things starting to happen. And just before the show came on, JoJo called me and said, Anthony Martin put out another article. You got to read it. You got to read it. So I went over there, and she was right. It's a really good article. And it says ISA to move forward on contempt on Holder on the Fast and Furious. And you all know Anthony Martin. He's a very good friend of ours and a good friend of the show, too. And he's got great articles. He stayed on this Fast and Furious along with Mike Vanderbo, David Cordrea, Cheryl Atkinson. So Anthony's been right there diligent as well. Anyhow, his article starts. It says, in response to numerous critics who have claimed that Congressman Daryl Issa and the Republican leadership in the House have dragged their feet in holding accountable those who have lied and stonewalled Congress in the Fast and Furious scandal, Representative Issa told the Washington Times today that he is moving forward with contempt charges against Attorney General Eric Holder. Issa had threatened Holder with a contempt of Congress citation unless he turned over to the House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform thousands of documents Holder had withheld that have been subpoenaed by Issa and in his investigation into the scandal. Several deadlines passed without any action on the part of Issa, and there were reports that House Speaker John Boehner had interfered in the Issa investigation, telling congressmen to back off the administration in the matter. But today, Issa told Kerry Pickett of the Washington Times that he is moving forward with his plans to charge Holder with contempt, but that the process is complicated and lengthy. We're going through a process, said Congressman Issa. That process is going to take weeks, but not months more. According to Issa and Senator Charles Grassley of Iowa, who was investigating the scandal in the Senate, Holder has turned over only 10% of the subpoenaed documents necessary for congressional staffers to conduct their investigation. A showdown occurred in January of this year when Issa issued a specific deadline for the receipt of the rest of the documents. That was February 9th. The deadline came and went with no action on the part of Holder or anyone else in the Justice Department. Based upon numerous documents, emails, phone records, and other communications received by reporters from ATF whistleblower agents and others within the government, Fast and Furious was the brainchild of various individuals within the Obama administration who have a long history of opposing the right of individual citizens to keep and bear arms. These include, but are not limited to, Hillary Clinton, Janet Napolitano, Robert Mueller, Eric Holder, and various individuals within the Department of Justice and the ATF, including the U.S. Attorney's Office in the District of Arizona. At least 2,500 U.S. guns were deliberately sent across the border to Mexican drug cartels by the ATF. Gun stores along the southern border were told by ATF agents to cooperate with the operation by making sales to straw purchases, those who would make purchases of guns and ammo on behalf of those who are not approved to make such purchases, such as cartel members. No attempt was made to trace the guns or drugs, despite the claim made by the administration officials, and this was the motive behind the operation. Instead, the ATF allowed the guns to get lost in Mexico after being transferred to the cartels. Later, those guns began to show up at numerous crime scenes in Mexico and the United States, including the murder scenes of Border Patrol agent Brian Terry and ICE agent Jaime Zepeda. When the operation was first implemented in 2009, administration officials, including Obama, Clinton, Holden, Napolitano, and certain congressional and Senate Democrats, such as Dianne Feinstein, made the erroneous claim that 90% of the guns used by Mexican criminals came from the United States. And while the Fast and Furious scheme was being conducted, this was the meme being often repeated by the administration. But the ATF's own internal documents prove that such a claim was false. The fact that the administration used the 90% lie when it implemented Fast and Furious and that it continued to use the falsehood after the whistleblowers came forward is proof, say the whistleblowers, that the motive for the entire scheme was to create false gun statistics that could then be used to attempt to justify renewed calls for gun bans and gun control laws in the United States. Anyhow, it says here, internal documents obtained by CBS News also confirmed that this was the motive behind Fast and Furious. Anthony put out a good article there, but, you know, That, too, is proof. He's even naming all kinds of people. So.
Yep. I think that in the next couple of weeks, there's going to be a lot of people outed from a lot of different people. Not just one or two people. I mean, there's more people in this game than people can imagine. You know, it's not just a select few. There's a lot of people in this game, and they maybe all fix to get all their intel together and all work together for the common cause.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Anthony put out another article about a showdown in Anchorage, too. He put that out yesterday, and we weren't able to get to it. I'm only going to read a piece of this, but this also is really good. It says, according to a report by a trusted source in Anchorage, Alaska, a top aide to U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski has met with ATF officials concerning the agency's request that gun stores in the region turn over their bound book containing names, addresses, background checks, and purchases of customers who bought firearms and ammo at the stores. Senator Murkowski's office was contacted directly and confirmed that the meeting took place yesterday. The ATF officials stated that they would begin an investigation into why local ATF field agents are making the unauthorized request of the gun stores, particularly when such a request violates the law as contained in the 1986 Firearms Owners Protection Act. An official with the local Anchorage Second Amendment Task Force told this reporter that he had been informed that at least five gun stores in the region were contacted by local ATF field agents who asked that the stores turn over their bound book and that four out of the five had reportedly complied. But that information could not be confirmed, nor did the official know which specific gun owners were affected. At least one gun shop in the Anchorage area, Great Northern Guns, refused to comply with the request, citing legal rights and the provisions of the Firearms Owners Protections Act, which prevents government agencies from accessing information on those who purchase guns unless there is an ongoing criminal investigation of a specific suspect. So you got the ATF running around up in Alaska asking gun stores to show them their records on who bought guns, how many guns, what their names were, background checks, all that stuff. That's illegal. You have a right to own a gun. Unless you've unless you're a criminal, no one has the right to know what gun you bought, how many guns you own, or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, that we're on the DOJ. A little-known DOJ cell was watching the Trayvon protest. Not only watching, but they were also assisting in these Trayvon protests. So here's another reason that you know that those protests were manufactured, and right from the DOJ, check this out, this is from White House Dossier. A large unknown group of Justice Department officials has inserted itself into the local Florida protest movement surrounding the killing of Trayvon Martin, assisting the protesters and attending their meetings and rallies. While the officials are tasked with preventing racial violence, it appears that in carrying out their duties, they have provided significant assistance to those protesting the killing of Martin, who was black, and by George Zimmerman, who was half white and half Hispanic. The officials are members of the DOJ's Community Relations Service, also known as the Peacemakers, a special unit established under the 1964 Civil Rights Act and empowered to act to mitigate local tensions between ethnic groups. Now, this one's from the CRS website. It's the only federal entity dedicated to assisting state and local government units, private and public organizations, and community groups with preventing and resolving racial and ethnic tensions and incidents. Anyhow, it goes on, it says, under President Obama, the group's mission has expanded significantly. Officials are permitted to take on a more aggressive role, moving from a reactionary to a preventive stance. CRS Director Andre Harris told the website Maine Justice, and the categories that can bring in the peacemakers now include gender, gender identity, sexual orientation, religion, and disability. It says, according to the Orlando Sentinel, the peacemakers have ended up offering advice and assistance to the protesters. So now you got the DOJ, their special little thing, offering assistance to these protesters. What type of assistance do they offer, I wonder?
Money?
Yeah, money, logistics, tell them how, where, you know, give them information. They are helping the protests, not stopping the protest or trying to calm down the protest. All right, now, a while ago we talked about Tony West. Okay, Tony West is the brother-in-law.
Oh, we talked about him a lot.
Yep, he's the brother-in-law of Kamala Harris, the one that Obama's been sucking up to and says that he wants her to be the next nominee for the Supreme Court. Well, this guy's her brother-in-law, but guess what he did before he was put on the DOJ just recently? He was just confirmed, so that's why we're bringing up this story. He was an Al-Qaeda attorney. Imagine that. Yep.
Oh, that's right, at Gitmo, wasn't he?
Yep, he was representing Al-Qaeda terrorists.
And then he got moved up.
Yeah, well, listen to this. It says, Tony West, from Al-Qaeda 7 to DOJ 3. Obama's new appointee, friend, and major campaign donor, and I mean major campaign donor, Tony West, believes terrorism is a matter for criminal courts and not military tribunals. He does not believe any enemy of the United States is a terrorist. He has a history of vigorously supporting Al-Qaeda terrorists and is now in charge of the Gitmo terrorist trials. It puts him in a supervisory position of the government lawyers charged with prosecuting the terrorists. So you got a guy who defends terrorists who's now in charge of prosecuting them? Tony West was the aggressive defense lawyer for John Walker Lind, the American Taliban. Despite his alarmingly vigorous and sometimes irrational defense of Lind, Lind is serving a 20 years in prison, though it should have been life. Lind colluded with Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan and took up arms against the United States troops. West is also a major Obama campaign bundler and has raised a great deal of money for him. His sister-in-law, Kamala Harris, is in line for the next important government job, perhaps as eventual head of the DOJ. Oh, so okay. He's going to put her in the DOJ instead of the court, or until he can put her in the court.
Yeah, according because to, it's going to take time. He's got to wait for Ginsburg to get out, so he'll put her in the DOJ until Ginsburg gets out.
Yeah. It says, according to the Free Beacon, Obama appointed West as the DOJ acting associate attorney general, a posting that does not require Senate confirmation. He formally began the job on Monday. So we got a big donor who's an Al-Qaeda attorney, vigorously defends Al-Qaeda, doesn't think that any terrorist is a terrorist, and now he's in charge of prosecuting terrorists. So how many terrorists do we think we're going to have prosecuted?
Very few. Well, maybe some of those American-born ones that they can...
Mm-hmm.
So they can make Americans look bad. But, you know, we're... starting, are we through with that story?
Yeah.
Okay. You had something you had to say on the internet the other night, and you know we've been pounding this message out for as long as I've been with you, and you know there's a lot of people that sit behind their computer and make fun of other people and do all kinds of stuff, and but you know what are you what are you doing? Are you getting up from behind the computer? Have you tried anything? Are you doing anything? You know, can't just sit behind a keyboard. If you don't believe in people, if you think you don't, if it's not on Fox News and it didn't happen, you're wrong. We report stuff every day that you're never going to hear on mainstream news, and we try our best to confirm everything we report. This deal today, it's from several sources, not just Drake. It's from several sources. So, you know, you can't put people down there at least trying, is my theory. Whether they're right or wrong, whether Joanne and I are right or wrong, we try to be right, but, you know, I'm sure we make mistakes. But, you know, you got to try.
In this case, we're right, though. In this case,
well, yeah,
we're
I'm just talking in general about all these people that just sit behind a keyboard, and if you don't believe in something, you want to say bad things. Well, you know, what are you doing? Are you doing anything to try to help the cause? Or have you protested? Have you called your congressman? Have you done anything other than just type stuff on a keyboard?
Yeah, well, we can't say, you know, you're right. We can't say that we've tried everything if we haven't tried everything.
Right.
And, you know, everybody's working towards it. I know Drake's group is working towards what they're working towards. I know that there's other groups. There's Watchers
groups. Yeah, it's
more
than just Drake's group.
Oh,
yeah. There's lots of groups. Lots of groups working toward the same thing. But these people are working. There's groups that meet on weekends and prepare and train. And there's preppers groups. There's all kinds of groups. But they're trying. They're doing something. You know.
And right inside our own military, people are wised up. People are getting very antsy, and they are not listening to their leaders. Their leaders are not defending them. Their leaders are not sticking up for them. And they know it. You know, when you see a couple of pictures of guys sitting next to a dead body, you know, when that picture comes out, you automatically assume that that soldier killed that dead body. But that's not what happened. You know, so everybody's going to come down on our military. Those guys were dead.
Do your
they
own
were
research.
Suicide bombers. And
all
35.
Day long, I see Fox News, and I keep telling people, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. But if you're just going to sit in front of that TV or sit in front of this keyboard and just type stuff all day and you haven't done anything to help this country other than to offer an opinion that you may or may not know, well, it's your opinion, so it can be whatever. But, you know, it's going to take everybody.
Yeah.
And you just can't. And
yeah, we can't infight anymore. It's too late for infighting.
Mm-hmm.
It's too late. We need each other. So everybody suck it up, whatever your problem is, get over it, and start working together because we're past deadline. We're out of time. We have 7 months left of our Constitution if we don't get this right. We've been dealt a hand, and we have to play this hand right now. We can work on a strong third party. We can work on getting Ron Paul in if people want to get Ron Paul in. But we all know right now that's not going to happen. So we got to deal with what we have, and we can control it. If we do it right, if we do it together. So that's the thing. Anyhow, we're out of time.
Uh-oh. Not again.
And I didn't even get to tell you about Ted Nugent.
Well, Ted Nugent's in trouble. He can't have freedom of speech, but new Black Panthers can. And I have a feeling that the Secret Service, the FBI, and Ted are probably going to kick back, drink a beer, eat a steak, and everything's going to be just fine because they have nothing to prove.
He
about what he said.
He talks like that all the time anyhow, and he's not a threat to society. Yeah. And what he said was, if Obama gets reelected, I'm either going to be dead or in jail in a year. But that wasn't a threat, and, you know, unless the thought police are after him, then I'm sure he's going to be just fine. All right, say good night, everybody.
Good night. Keep your powder dry.
Yep, good night, everybody. And I got to tell you, you know, all of this stuff that we talked about today, there's going to be a lot more. Keep your eyes and ears open, ladies and gentlemen, because stuff is happening, and you got to know how to pick it out. We've been working at this 4 years that I know of. We've been able to pick out everything that didn't smell right or didn't look right or patterns we saw forming. And believe me, guys, you're going to start seeing it, all right? Just we'll stay on it. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And please come back tomorrow because we still got, you know, I got a whole stuff in front of me we didn't even get to. We appreciate you tuning in. Remember, we're Liberty Underground, the Moretti Report, and we're here Monday through Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 3 Pacific. I'd like to thank all of our wonderful callers. I love a good go-around. Thank you, folks. Everybody who's listening, we appreciate that. All those wonderful people in the chat room, we appreciate you guys being there. Lynn and Anna on links, you guys rock. Special thank you to my great co-host, JoJo Norton. Stay tuned. Coming up next is Tiger Lily with Freedom Roars. And then after that, at 9 p.m., Proof Negative will be in the house. He's the big boss, man, and he's got a great show for you, too. So on that note, good night, America. We love you. And here is Zsa Zsa, Total Control.
This is a control grid to track and trace and make us second-class citizens. They're going to decide what sites you visit, and they're only going to allow a couple thousand sites. 99% of the web will be off-limits.
Freedom of speech. Politicians seem out of reach. You can find them nude on a beach. Lots of rights we had, those were breached. Ask Pelosi, why not impeach? These sides are flowing with greed. All they see is green in between. Men feeding the sheep with TV. Gully up, you still don't believe?
When you think of the most horrific crime against the United States of America, it had nothing to do with gun ownership. It was somebody who used an airplane to massacre. the lady say, I'm free and I'm proud to be an American and I don't owe anybody anything. My cars are paid off. My house is paid off. I'd like to see just how free you are, lady, if you don't pay your taxes on the property that you own. How free are you really when you're in that cage? How free are you? How free are you despite the fact that you paid for your car? How free are you if you don't get it registered? How free are you if you get stopped because you rolled a stop sign? You get exposed for not having registered your car. Right to travel? I don't think so. Everything we have here in the United States of America, they're all privileges. We have the privilege to bear arms. Sometimes. But sometimes not. The government decides when we can exercise that privilege.
It's Feline Fury time.
Hi, Freedomizers and friends. This is Tiger Lily, your show host for the next hour on FreedomizerRadio.com. The name of my radio show is Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar because I am constantly roaring for freedom. And we've got a lively chat room. Joanne Liberty Underground, they did such a great job, and JoJo, I've listened to the whole thing, and you guys are awesome. I don't know how you guys do what you guys do, and all of the discussion. Ignorance is bliss, and I wish I could go turn back the clock to 2 years. And 2 years ago, I'll tell you what, I used to, whenever I saw a cop handcuffing somebody like at a traffic stop or something like that, I always thought to myself, those are our heroes. They're putting their life on their lines for us, for our liberties. But today, after I got my awakening 2 years ago, I realized that no, these are not our heroes. These are the enemy. If it wasn't for police officers, politicians could not take our liberties away. Now think about that. Now I was in the chat room and talking about how a lot of people are still so asleep and comatose and not really, everybody's going to work and not really realizing what's happening. I mean, it's awful what's happening in this United States of America where I was born. I was born in East Chicago, Indiana in 1961 and to an immigrant family. And I'll tell you what, there are more people in this United States of America that are in prison per capita, about 7 million, than in any other country on the planet. So at one, and that includes communist China. So at what point do we say enough is enough? How many laws, how many more laws do we need? We don't, how did we go from being the smallest government in the world and flourish to economically through capitalism? And we flourished, but then 200 years later, we're the biggest government in the world with I would argue that we don't have as much liberties as many other countries, as evidenced by the number of laws that are on the book and the number of cops that are there to enforce those laws. Give me a break. I have to put a helmet on to ride a motorcycle in Nevada and California and 20 more states? This is ridiculous. I'm a grown adult. I should be able to decide whether I wear a helmet or not. And then you've got these nanny crap people. Well, I don't want to have to pay for your comatose state or for you to be a quadriplegic because of your stupid decision not to wear a helmet. Well, guess what? I wouldn't want to pay for me either. Who the hell says that we have to pay? I mean, where is it even constitutional that we should be having to pay so much money to the feds or to anybody else? I mean, we're indoctrinating a culture of children by forcing them. The parents have no choice. They have to take those kids to school in the United States of America to get the indoctrination by these teachers who are commanded by their unions. And my gosh, I mean, it's such an entanglement of just bureaucracy that we have. So anyways, my theme today, I'm sorry to
go off on a tangent a little bit, but I'm really passionate about this because there were some people on the chat that were talking about, well, you know, where would you go? And because the game changer for me, as I was saying in the chat, is at one point I was just so sick of so many laws and so many rules and so much. I saw inability of me to own my own body and control my own life that I decided, you know what? What the hell? Screw this. I did 4 years in the Marine Corps when I was 18 years old. I joined to be a patriot. And, you know, as I joined, people patted me on the back and said, you know, you're proud to be an American and thank you for your service and all of that. And 30 years later, here I am wondering what the hell happened to my country? Where did all our liberties go? What the hell? And I was at the point where my parents are dead, my husband's retired, my children are grown. I didn't see any future as far as being a grandmother or anything. But the game changer was the day my daughter told me she was going to have a kid. And I thought, that's it. I can't just run away because you can't run away anymore. I mean, people used to run to the United States of America for liberty. That's what the Statue of Liberty is about, and that's what Ellis Island represents, and the Constitution and the flag. And I used to get all watery-eyed and everything over all of that indoctrination. And now I see it for what it is. It is indoctrination that we got from the beginning, from birth almost. You're on the left or on the right, I don't care. It makes no difference. It's indoctrination. You're on a plantation. We need to get rid of this, all of this, and instead of 999, how about 000? I own my body. I own the fruits of my labor, and I will donate whatever monies I want or whatever will contribute to whatever charities I think are moral. How about that? I mean, with all of these earthquakes and everything, we Americans, we're the most generous people or have been in the past. I don't see how we can even afford to be generous anymore because the Fed are sucking the blood right out of us, and they're doing it they're the drones and they're the slave masters are the cops. And I see it for what it is, and it's absolutely stunning. So anyways, let me start my show and talk about this article that got a lot of interesting attention. And it was several months ago, but I thought I'd kind of like showcase this article. And it was written, it was posted in June 28th. Of 2011, so almost a year ago, and the title is When Should You Shoot a Cop? And it was written by Larkin Rose, and he is basically, he's not left, he's not right, he's a zero government person, and I guess you would call him, if we are to put labels on people, because I have a lot of people tell me, why do you have to label everybody? Well, why even have a language? I mean, isn't that what language is? Is describing emotions and persons, places, and things, and you know the nouns and the pronouns? Why even have a language if we're not going to label stuff? So, what are you? Are you a lefty or are you a righty? Are you a Democrat? Are you a Republican? Are you a Christian? Are you a conservative? Are you a Catholic? Are you a Baptist? Are you Muslim? Are you what God do you worship? You know, so all of these things matter as far as who's going to control, who's going to be in control of your own body and your own mind and the fruits of your labor. Because we are, I submit to you that we are all slaves in the United States of America, just like it says on my entry thing when I started the show. It's like, try not paying your taxes. Let's see how free you are. Try registering your car and right in the United States and see how far you go. You know, we're not free. And anybody who thinks we're free, they got a rude awakening coming. And unfortunately, too many people like Bill Scott, somebody that is going to be on my show on May 20th, he got a firsthand dose of what the tyranny is about when his son, a West Point graduate, 37-year-old, stellar man, was shot, killed to death at Costco in a Las Vegas Costco. Did he see justice? No. Hell no. Why not? Well, for one, maybe because he's white, unlike Trayvon Martin and Trevon Cole in Nevada, who just got $1.8 million. He was throwing a doobie down the toilet when the cops went in and wrongfully raided him and shot him in the head and in front of his pregnant wife. Well, the ACLU gets all up in arms and, oh, yeah, this is a tragedy. Yeah, well, he was throwing away a doobie, not that would merit anybody being shot, but what did Eric Scott do? He was a concealed carry person, and somebody freaked out at Costco because they saw him with a gun. He wasn't brandishing. He wasn't, you know, and what this Gestapo Gillespie sheriff has done to conceal this stuff is just appalling. Where is the NRA in this? They hid away. Oh, yeah, well, he had too many drugs in his system. Well, guess what? I got drugs in my system. I take Xanax to sleep most every night. So if I get shot, and I'm an open carrier. So I guess so I'm at risk to getting shot by any cop who thinks that, you know, I'm a risk or whatever. So I better not act at all crazy. In fact, I get people coming up to me asking me if I'm a cop. And I say not only no, but hell no. I despise cops. And to those people who say, oh, you're just too radical and it's just, no, it's just a few bad apples that give every, no. It may be just a few bad apples doing a lot of bad stuff, but what's all the rest of them that aren't doing about it? They're guilty by association. So anyway, back to Larkin Rose and his article, When Should You Shoot a Cop? He starts that, it says, that question, even without an answer, makes most, quote-unquote, law-abiding taxpayers go into knee-jerk conniption. The indoctrinated masses all race to see who can be first and loudest to proclaim that it is never okay to forcibly resist, quote-unquote, law enforcement. In doing so, they also inadvertently demonstrate why so much of human history has been plagued by tyranny and oppression. In an ideal world, cops would do nothing except protect people from thieves and attackers, in which case shooting a cop would never be justified. In the real world, however, far more injustice, violence, torture, theft, and outright murder has been committed in the name of law enforcement than has been committed in spite of it. To get a little perspective, try watching a documentary or two about some of the atrocities committed by the regimes of Stalin or Lenin or Chairman Mao or Hitler or Pol Pot or any number of other tyrants in history. Pause the film when the jackboots are about to herd innocent people into cattle cars or gun them down as they stand on the edge of a ditch. Then ask yourself the question, when would you shoot a cop? Keep in mind, the evils of those regimes were committed in the name of law enforcement. And as much as the statement may make people cringe, the history of the human race would have been a lot less gruesome if there had been a lot more cop killers around to deal with the state mercenaries of those regimes. People don't mind when you point out the tyranny that has happened in other countries, but most have a hard time viewing their own country, their own government, their own law enforcers in any sort of objective way. Having been trained to feel a blind loyalty to the ruling class of the particular piece of dirt they live on, aka patriotism, and having been trained to believe that obedience is a virtue, the idea of forcibly resisting quote-unquote law enforcement is simply unthinkable to many. Literally, they can't even think about it, and humanity has suffered horribly because of it. It is a testament to the effectiveness of authoritarian indoctrination that literally billions of people throughout history have begged and screamed and cried in the face of authoritarian injustice and oppression. But only a tiny fraction have ever lifted a finger to actually try to stop it. Even when people can recognize tyranny and oppression, they will usually talk about working within the same system that is responsible for the tyranny and oppression. People want to believe that the system will sooner or later provide justice. The last thing they want to consider is that they should illegally resist, that if they want to achieve justice, they must become quote-unquote and quote-unquote terrorists, which is what anyone who resists legal injustice is automatically labeled. But history shows all too well that those who fight for freedom and justice almost always do so illegally, i.e. without the permission of the ruling class. If politicians think that they have the right to impose any quote-unquote law they want, and cops have the attitude that as long as it's called law, they will enforce it, what is there to prevent complete tyranny? Not the conscience of the lawmakers, not the consciences of the lawmakers or their hired thugs, obviously, and not any election or petition to the politicians. When tyrants define what counts as quote-unquote law, then by definition, it is up to the lawbreakers to combat tyranny. Pick any example of abuse of power, whether it is the fascist, quote-unquote, war on drugs, the police thuggery that has become so common, the random stops and searches now routinely carried out in the name of security, like at airports and border checkpoints that aren't even at the border, sobriety checkpoints, and so on, or anything else. Now ask yourself the uncomfortable question. If it's wrong for cops to do these things, doesn't that imply that the people have a right to resist such actions? Of course, state mercenaries don't take kindly to being resisted, not even nonviolently. Even if you question their right to detain you, interrogate you, search you, invade your home, and on, you are very likely to be tasered, physically assaulted, kidnapped, put in a cage, or shot. If a cop decides to treat you like livestock, whether he does it legally or not, you will usually have only two options: submit or kill the cop. You can't resist a cop just a little and get away with it. He will always call in more of his fellow gang members until you are subdued or dead. Basic logic dictates that you either have an obligation to let law enforcers have their way with you, or you have the right to stop them from doing so, which will almost always require killing them. Because politely asking fascists not to be fascists has a very poor track record. Consider the recent Indiana Supreme Court ruling, which declared that if a cop tries to illegally enter your home, it's against the law for you to do anything to stop him. Aside from the patent absurdity of it, since it amounts to giving thugs with badges permission to break the law, and makes it a crime for you to defend yourself against a criminal if he has a badge, consider the logical ramifications of that attitude. There were once some words written on a piece of parchment with those words, now known as the Fourth Amendment, that said that you have the right to be free from unreasonable searches and seizures at the hands of government agents. In Indiana today, what could that possibly mean? The message from the ruling class is quite clear and utterly insane. It amounts to this: We don't have the right to invade your home without probable cause. But if we do, you have no right to stop us, and we have the right to arrest you if you try. Why not apply that to the rest of the Bill of Rights while we're at it? You have a right to say what you want, but if we use violence to shut you up, you have to let us. In parentheses, he says, I can personally attest to the fact that that is the attitude of the U.S. Department of Justice. You have the right to have guns, but if we try to forcibly and illegally disarm you and you resist, we have the right to kill you. Ask Randy Weaver and the Branch Davidians about that one. Quote, you have the right not to testify against yourself, but when we coerce you into confessing and call plea agreement, you can't do a thing about it. What is good is a right. I mean, what good is a right? What does the term right even mean if you have an obligation to allow jackboots to violate your so-called rights? It makes the term absolutely meaningless. To be blunt, if you have the right to do A, it means that if someone tries to stop you from doing A, even if he has a badge and a politician's scribble on his side, which is a law, you have the right to use whatever amount of force is necessary to resist that person. That's what it means to have an unalienable right. If you have an unalienable right to speak your mind, a la the First Amendment, then you have the right to kill government agents who try to shut you up. If you have the unalienable right to be armed, then you have the right to kill, quote-unquote, government agents who try to disarm you. If you have the right to not be subjected to unreasonable searches and seizures, then you have the right to kill government agents who try to inflict those on you. Those who are proud to be law-abiding don't like to hear this and don't like to think about this. But what is the alternative? If you do not have the right to forcibly resist injustice, even if the injustice is called law, that logically implies that you have an obligation to allow government agents to do absolutely anything they want to you, to your home, to your family, and so on. Really, there are only two choices. You are a slave, the property of the politicians, without any rights at all, or you have the right to violently resist government attempts to oppress you. There can be no other option. Of course, on a practical level, openly resisting the gang called government is usually very hazardous to one's health. But there is a big difference between obeying for the sake of self-preservation, which is often necessary and rational, and feeling a moral obligation to go along with whatever the ruling class wants you to do, which is pathetic and insane. Most of the incomprehensible atrocities that have occurred throughout history were due in large part to the fact that most people answer never to the question of, when should you shoot a cop? The correct answer is, when evil is illegal, become a criminal. When oppression is enacted as a law, become a lawbreaker. When those violently victimizing the innocent have badges, become a cop killer. The next time you hear of a police officer being killed in the line of duty, take a moment to consider the very real possibility that maybe in that case, the law enforcer was the bad guy and the cop killer was the good guy. As it happens, that has been the case more often than not throughout human history. Ladies and gentlemen, that was by Larkin Rose, and he posted that on copblock.org back in June last year. There is there was a lot of controversy about that. And I'm going to go to commercial break. And when I come back, I'm going to air what Rose Larkin said in a YouTube about the reaction that he got to that particular article. Now, I was talking about labeling people, and I'm just going to just chatter away a little bit until I get my commercials up. But basically, Rose Larkin is an capitalist. I think that's what I've seen him label himself, which basically, if you use the word anarchy, it totally freaks people out because it has this negative connotation to it that it's people, you know, with these black flags who want total chaos and are going to just shoot people at will and are looters and all of that. But an anarchist, the real truthful meaning of that is somebody who owns himself. And so he is like I am, that we own our bodies, we own our property, and we promote a voluntary society as opposed to a society that forces anybody to do anything against their will. And as long as we're not inflicting aggression on another human being, we need to be left alone. So I think it's time for our species to evolve, wake up, and start thinking about something other than going back to the Constitution. The Constitution had it's responsible for having created the greatest nation known to man in the United States of America, because it was small. It made for the smallest government known to man, arguably. But when you think about it, the Constitution, did you sign it? I didn't sign it. Really, it was a few founding fathers who wanted to be free from the king. They weren't seeking freedom for everybody. Look at what they did to the Native Americans. They had slaves, half of them. Do we really want to go back to a constitution? I would argue that the time is right for us as evolved human beings to realize that we can have a voluntary society. And I would argue that one of the key things would be to vote for Ron Paul, because that he is the person that most closely mirrors these values. So let's go to commercial break, and I will be back in two.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Growth Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on Off of the Air the other day, and I'd say that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
This is Debbie.
And I'm Michael, along with CD, the Constitutional Defender Dog. Is mainstream media giving you the real stories, or are they just telling you what they want you to hear?
Join us for Securing Liberty on Freedomizer Radio, Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. Central.
We'll be joined by great guests, discuss interesting and important topics, current events, maybe even a little humor. Be prepared for anything.
It will be 90 minutes of information sure to help you on your quest for truth. So join Securing Liberty at 11 p.m. Central on Freedomizer Radio.
Purple Shift is Christ Consciousness Awakening. The Purple Shift is news about Mother Earth, cosmic sky, and you.
Open up and expand themselves. My goodness, let's get back 100 years to the thinking that was going on then. Where would we be if people didn't expand themselves?
The Purple Shift is hosted by spiritual warrior Pathos Sages. Join her Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Central, only on FreedomizerRadio.com.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to FreedomizerRadio.com and also Facebook us right at FreedomizerRadio.com. Catch you there.
Hi, Freedomizers and friends and foe. This is, you're listening to Tiger Lily on my show, Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar, on FreedomizerRadio.com. If you're listening live, it is April the 18th, TGIM hump day. Isn't that Wednesday, the hump day? So if you're listening live, it is half past the hour, half past 5 p.m. Pacific time. And I happen to be living right now in, I call it Polygamyville, Utah, because I've stirred up such a hornet's nest of controversy in Las Vegas that my husband basically feared for the safety of our family. So we're kind of in quasi-hiding, you know, like I call it Polygamyville. And it's a really cool place where we're out in the country and I open carry and there was this guy there's a lot of survivalists out here. And this one guy says, you know, if you kill somebody in Utah, even in self-defense, that's a felony. And I said to him, what makes you think I would ever shoot somebody even in self-defense? And that kind of took him by surprise. It's like, well, why have one? Well, I'll tell you why I have one. To repel cops and criminals, because in my view, they're the same thing. And I think I would hold cops in much worse of a light than criminals, because they are sanctioned criminals, in my opinion. And I know that it's harsh, but this is the reality of things. I just read the article from Larkin Rose about when is it okay to shoot a cop. And I reached out to him, but he didn't contact me back. And if he did, then, you know, I'm like 6,000 emails behind, so I may have missed it. But I found that he did a YouTube to respond to some of the controversy that he stirred with that article, where he says basically it's okay to shoot a cop when in self-defense, you know, or when tyranny. What is it? Who was it? Was it Thomas Jefferson or somebody on the check and post says, when resistance becomes tyranny, tyranny becomes, oh, I forgot how that goes. What can I say? But I've uploaded this, what Larkin Rose had to say about the thing. Here it is. Okay, shooting cops, 1:04.
Hey, this is Larkin Rose, and I just had to quick throw together a video about an article I wrote many weeks ago, actually, called When Should You Shoot a Cop? It was published on copblock.org, and it has since made national news at least 2 or 3 times. Now, of course, the title When Should You Shoot a Cop? Is going to make people freak out, and it seems that hardly anybody actually read the article but just did the knee-jerk reaction. In fact, I'm going to read you the first paragraph of the article because it perfectly sums up the way most people responded. Again, the title was, When Should You Shoot a Cop? That question, even without an answer, makes most law-abiding taxpayers go into knee-jerk conniptions. The indoctrinated masses all race to see who can be first and loudest to proclaim that it is never okay to forcibly resist law enforcement. In doing so, they also inadvertently demonstrate why so much of human history has been plagued by tyranny and oppression.
Right, so that was his introduction for the article. And then he talks about Glenn Beck, which was kind of surprising to me, because I was always like a quasi-fan of Glenn Beck, because, I was raised Democrat, lefty, and then I married a righty, so a white guy, Republican, so he converted me. And then I became independent because I didn't really fit into either one of those. And I'm currently a registered Ron Paul libertarian. I don't know why I had a brain fart on that one. But anyways, Glenn, so I was very surprised. I always saw Glenn Beck as less of an enemy than somebody like, I don't know, somebody on the far left. But I'm really starting to realize that whether you're left or right, it really doesn't matter. It's a plantation nonetheless. So here's what he said about Glenn Beck.
Now, a few weeks ago, apparently somebody printed out the entire article and was handing out copies or leaving them lying around at an Occupy Phoenix, I think it was, something down in Arizona. Wasn't me who handed them out. Had I been there, it would have been. So somebody handed them out, and it made national news that, oh, look what they're handing out at the Occupy this, that, or the other thing events. And I heard tell that Glenn Beck read some of the letter. Of course, he didn't read the whole thing, and I don't think he gave the name to make sure people couldn't actually look it up to see what else it said.
Right. So the left started pointing at the right, and the right started pointing at the left, because neither the left nor the right think it's okay to shoot a cop. So, but and it's interesting because when I engage some Facebook or some forums and stuff like that, people instantly will, you know, depending on what I say, they immediately label me as a lefty or a conservative Christian or something. But the reality is, I'm just about liberty. I want to own my own body and own whatever I make and be able to provide for my family and live peacefully. I don't know if there's a heaven. I don't know if there's a hell. I don't care. It's immaterial to me. The only thing I know is that it is wrong to force somebody to do something against their will. And it is wrong to initiate aggression against another human being, including our children. It starts with that. I mean, I think of my mother raising me Southern Baptist, and she used to literally beat the crap out of my brother. When I say literally, I mean literally beat him with a branch from a tree tied to a chair till there was blood coming out of him. And because she was literally, in her mind, trying to whip the devil out of him. Well, he's doing time with OJ as we speak. That's how that worked out. Aggression is never the right thing. Never. Especially for a child. So here's the next clip, 27 seconds, on how the media spent.
I should quick mention how the mainstream media, when it reported this, in a lot of places they talked as if we think we might know who wrote this article, as if it was some clandestine conspiracy. I wrote it. It has my name on it. It's out in public. I say these things in public all the time. I don't speak for the Tea Party. I don't speak for Occupy Wall Street. I speak for me. And if you don't like what I say, try addressing what I say instead of having tantrums about things I didn't say.
Oh, my gosh. He's like a kindred spirit to me, I think. Because I, for example, I can't stand wearing a helmet when I ride a motorcycle most of the time. Every now and again, if it's drizzling or something like that, then I appreciate having something to kind of protect me from the harsh when I – you know, the raindrops or whatever, because they feel like little rocks on you when you're going 75 miles an hour. So I resent that states have laws that say if you're on a motorcycle, you have to wear a helmet. And some people would argue, well, and Nevada has had, I call it helmet bondage, for 40 years. And every time there's a legislation, the last legislative session, it got the furthest it had ever gone because it actually got out of a committee. And there was a lot of criticism of me because when I realized what was happening, I was right on top of that law because I was a new reporter and for a motorcycle magazine, Quick Throttle magazine, I'll add. And I started paying attention to the politics and the you know, I saw with my own eyes that we helped get some elected officials elected, motorcycles can do that very easily. You know, we can pile up a bunch of signs on the back of our motorcycles, and for every sign, you got to figure like maybe four votes or whatever, and we can do it in 17 seconds. I mean, fast. So when I realized that this lady that we had voted in, that she was just ignoring the bill, even though she kept her word and she brought it to a committee and it was heard on the committee, she was holding on it. She was letting it collect dust. And when I realized there was like 48 hours till deadline, I sent a mass email out to everybody and I said, we have nothing to lose but to start sending emails. And I rallied the troops, and it was kind of like almost hating, you know. But it was really a disappointment that here we helped this bitch get in office, and now she's going to ignore our voice, even though the helmet bill was the top most voted on bill in the entire state for a long time. She completely was going to ignore it. Well, just maybe 4 hours before deadline, she sent an email to one of the major activists who goes by the name Bones and said, please, Bones told me that her text message said, please tell your people to stop sending hate mail. I'm going to bring it up to a vote. Well, she brought it up to a vote, and she voted no for helmet choice. Not only did she vote no for helmet choice, but one other guy who was kissing our asses to get elected, Menendo, he was a co-sponsor of the bill, and he voted no. But out of seven people, four people voted yes. And I think it was like two Democrats and two Republicans. They recognized that this bill was the only bill that would have brought in revenue to the state that is hurting the most financially, that has the highest foreclosure rate, the highest unemployment rate in the entire nation. So it got out of committee. So then somebody didn't like my tactics and something went very wrong. But Senator Horsford, who is now running for U.S. Congress, he is a black Democrat, and he was sitting on the bill. It was up to him to bring it to a vote. And one of the lobbyists who does this for free, I think John Bland, who is a bait of Northern Nevada, he knew exactly who was going to vote yes and who was going to vote no, and we had enough votes to get it to go through. To get helmet choice for Nevada. But Senator Horsford, as the Senate Majority Leader, he had that bill. He let it collect dust. And I went through extraordinary things. I took two motorcycle trips to Carson City. Each way is 580 miles. To face him face to face and tell him some things, you know, and ask him to please bring this to a vote. And he politely smiled, but he let the bill die. Now, the governor is a Republican. He said that if it gets passed, he'd sign it. We don't really know that. He's a Republican, Sandoval. We don't know if he secretly told the Senate Majority Leader, don't let it pass because I don't want to have to veto it. You know, or I don't want to have to ignore it or whatever. We don't know what the hell these ass clowns were doing behind the scenes. So just goes to show, left or right, it doesn't matter. It's a plantation. So I got a little bit off track. Let me continue on with what Larkin Rose had to say about the publicity that his article generated in the national press. Because of his article that he titled, When Is It Okay to Shoot a Cop?
Now, what was fascinating to me is that as soon as this made it in the media that this was being handed out at an Occupy whatever event, the right-wing statists all jumped on board to say, see what these Occupy Wall Street types are like? They want violence. They want lawlessness. And I hate to break to you, but I'm not one of the Occupy Wall Street types. Almost as quickly, the left-wing statists turned around and said, no, 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 that's what the Tea Party believes. That's what you right-wing statists believe. So basically, I wrote something. Two groups who don't believe what I believe started pointing their fingers at each other, saying, this is what you believe, this is what you believe. So, grow a spine. If you want to point fingers, point it at me, because I'm the one who wrote it, and I don't believe what either of those groups believe.
Right on, Larkin. So, I guess the reason I had gone into this whole thing about the helmet law, now that I had a moment to pause to think and collect my thoughts, is because I have vowed to myself that I will never again ride a motorcycle while wearing a helmet. I don't care about the freaking law. And California has a helmet law, and there was actually an event that was going to take place out there, and I really wanted to go, and I would have gone, except for several things that occurred, primarily financially. But if I would have gone to California, I would not have worn a helmet. But the thing about it is, in California, see, when I ride my motorcycle in Nevada and in Utah, I do what's called open carrying, which is I have a gun on my hip. And it's a 45, it's loaded. And so, and it's legal for citizens to open carry a firearm without a permit in Nevada. And you would go, I would recommend you go to opencarry.org to get the specifics, because I don't want to guide anybody wrongly. But I just know for myself, in Nevada, if you're 18 and no felonies and you're a U.S. citizen, you can open carry in most of Nevada without a permit and all of that. I think in Clark County, they've got a funky little thing, but the activists are working on that. So anyways, California was an open carry state, except until January. January is when open carry became illegal in California. So what I do in Nevada and in Utah is when I ride my motorcycle, I ride open carrying my weapon and no helmet. So I've had activists, you know, helmet activists say, that's kind of risky, Tiger Lily. I don't know about that. But at this point, I don't really give a damn what anybody says. It's my head, my choice. If a cop wants to pull me over, he may. I'm not going to resist. And if he shoots me, then so be it. I am not wearing a helmet. And so what would happen, the miraculous, stunning thing that has happened is that I have been skunk-eyed by so many Metro cops in Las Vegas that see it's a crazy woman without a helmet, and I wear like a little headband around my head, and I've got a sticker on it that says, repeal it or feel it. And that's my mantra. Repeal it or feel it, bitches, because I ain't wearing no helmet, no time until I die while riding on a motorcycle in any place in the United States of America. Now, granted, if I were to go to Florida, I think Georgia's a helmet required state. I'll either go around it if it's possible, or I'll just, you know, not wear a helmet. But that's the other thing. Like Texas, I don't think I can open carry in Texas. So what's fortunately, Texas has a choice, a helmet choice. So when I go to Texas, which I'm planning to do next month, I'll be riding all the way without a helmet. Arizona is for choice. Utah, for choice. Texas, New Mexico, all helmet choice states. The only states that still have mandates are Nevada, California, the West Coast, and a few other nanny-crat states. Ironically, Illinois does not have a helmet law at all. It's one of two states in the United States, including D.C., that has no helmet law at all. Whereas even in Utah, we have there's an age requirement. So even the helmet choice states, most of them have a requirement. Like Michigan just recently got helmet choice. So that's progress. And I wonder how much of it was due to, the activists, and because evidently they had enough votes, but it was a governor that was vetoing it 4 years in a row or something. But now they have a governor that was a Republican governor that actually signed it. And so you've got all the nannycrats, oh, how can he do this? Is it going to cost so much money and yada, yada? Well, guess what, folks? The world ain't flat anymore. And there's a few people alive who said, yeah, helmet saved my life. But how many dead people are going to come back to life and say, you know what, if it wasn't for this freaking helmet, I wouldn't have crashed in the first place? Or the helmet obstructed my vision or my hearing or in some way malfunctioned and caused me to lose control of my bike and killed me. So that's why we need choice. So there's one more 1 minute thing from Larkin Rose where I ended up, and it's about 1 minute.
One of the main themes of the article is that throughout history, most mass evil has not been done in spite of law enforcement. It's been done in the name of law enforcement. You look at the regimes of Stalin and Mao and Hitler and Pol Pot and go right down the list. What they did, they called law. They legislated it, and then they had their law enforcers go out and implement evil. So, when people say, oh, that's horrible, it's dangerous, apparently Glenn Beck said this is the dangerous stuff that's out there, is talking about forcible resistance. Oh, really? What's the alternative? The alternative is that absolutely anything a government wants to do to you, you have to let it. No matter what. Wants to pile you on cattle cars? Well, it's totally evil to talk about resisting, so we better not. Wants to shut everybody up, wants to disarm everybody, wants to make it a practice to randomly search people and interrogate them for no good reason? Well, you have to just let them, because apparently it's uncivilized to talk about actually resisting.
That was Larkin Rose, the author of the article that I read at the top of the hour, and he's a kindred spirit of mine. I've never met him, but all of his work resonates very deeply to the very core of who I am, which is basically I respect people, and I respect people's freedoms and people's choices, and I don't believe in stealing other people's stuff. And what is the IRS but theft? And if it wasn't for cops, politicians couldn't take our liberties away. That is a quote from my friend Bill Buebert, founder of ZeroGov.com. So I've just got a few minutes left, and I want to go over another little article, and I don't know who wrote this one, but it was posted on Blog Cop. I used to InjusticeEverywhere.com. That is such an awesome website, but the guy, he was doing such a service and everything, but he just he went broke. So he ended up having to take a full-time job, and I don't know what his job is. Maybe now he has to be a cop, or he's a detective, or who knows. But he has some great work on InjusticeEverywhere.com and some statistics where he's actually was counting the number of cops that are killing innocent civilians and so on and so forth. But unfortunately, people like us, all of us Freedomizers, all of us hosts of FreedomizerRadio.com, we do this basically for free. I do this for free. I mean, I don't get any money. I don't get paid to do a show. And I'm okay with that because my mission on earth is to expose the corruption, to expose the cockroaches. A friend, I'd like to call him a friend named Artie, I think it was he that said that cockroaches, cops, and criminals are all afraid of the light. But I think he said cockroaches serve a purpose, though. The others two don't serve any kind of a good purpose. So that's my mission on Earth. And like I said at the top of the show, oh, to be 2 years ago, I was so blind. I was just like everybody else, just going to work, paying my taxes, you know, putting food on the table, completely clueless to the tyranny around me. And too frequently, people are being awakened because a cop murdered a loved one. I interviewed Teresa Smith out of Anaheim, California. Her son was killed by cops, by undercover cops. And the media just, you know, the mainstream media will only tell what is presented to them by the cops. And they'll put their spin on it to condone the murders. Like, for example, Teresa Smith's son was an ex-parolee. Well, what does that have to do with anything? She was murdered by cops. She wasn't committing any crimes. And if you dig a little bit deeper, you find out more stuff about the case. And only people who have the frontline experience, like Teresa Smith, who firsthand can tell you what it was like to be the family of a victimized, a murdered kid. He was, I think, 27 years old. He had left behind children, and she was told to go to the hospital because the son was evidently in grave condition. Well, no, she demanded to see her son. Her son went immediately to the morgue. He was shot dead at the site. So it was a lie that he was even in critical condition. So she has a very compelling story. And the next, I call him a sleeping giant, is Bill Scott, the father of Eric Scott, who's going to be on my radio show May 20th. Mark your calendar on that. That's the one he's a white guy that was murdered by the Gestapo Gillespie. And he had to drop, he felt compelled to drop the lawsuit against the Gestapo. But he's working in other ways, and he'll be talking about that with the book that he's writing called The Permit. So it's a sleeping giant, and people are being awakened. And it's just a shame that we have to wait, that it takes somebody being killed to wake people up. And even at that, I was covering a story. This woman, Teresa, I forget her, I think her first name was Teresa, out of Illinois or somewhere, some, you know, conservative Republican area. White lady got shot by a white cop. The white husband said, oh, I think it was an overreaction on the cop's part. Are you kidding me? An overreaction? It's called murder, dude. Wake up. Your woman was murdered brutally by a cop. So I've listened to research that, and I think there is a lawsuit coming on that, an ambulance chaser who got a hold of that one. And good for them, because that's what needs to happen. So let me see how many minutes I've got left here. Oh, I'm out of time, you guys. Thank you for listening to me. I'm Tiger Lily on Tiger Lily's Freedom Roar on FreedomizerRadio.com. Please stay tuned to the show. And I'm sorry for the person that I think sees that somebody was holding wanting to speak to me. I'm sorry I didn't get to your call. But please stay tuned to listen to the Big Kahuna Proof Negative. And it's heroes like him who are giving people like me the platform out the truth, because we are, all of us on FreedomizerRadio.com, we are truth tellers, truth seekers, and none of us are making a killing on this. And, you know, I've encouraged proof that he really, instead of working a full-time job and doing what he does 3 days, 4 days a week, I think 3 hours a day, you know, on the radio, he needs to put a donate button on his freedomizerradio.com thing. So y'all send him emails. Encourage him to do that, because I think that people appreciate hearing what we're saying and the truth and everything. So please stay tuned. Don't go away. Proof Negative is on next. So that's it for my time, everybody. Have a great day, and I'm gonna hang up now, Proof, so that Proof can get back on.